Blog Talk Radio.
All right, area code 760, you're on the air. Can you hear me?
Hello?
760, you are on the air.
Hello?
Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Okay. Can you hear me now? Well, that's kind of weird. Can you hear me now? Everything clear? Now we do. Okay, silence. I do. All right. Well, what I was going to say was, we can also, if you want to throw out three, it's a three number, and we'll look it up in the angel book and see what it means. I always tell people to do that about the bat, too, because of the situation. It seems like those numbers always mean something. I'm like, if you pick up the number, it's like taking a deep breath and going, three, like six, four, seven. Then we'll sit there and we'll look it up. 647. Let's take a look at 647 and see what we got going on. 647. 647. 647 means the angels have heard you call. The angels have heard your call for help. And they reassure you that everything is taken care of. All right. That's a good number in itself. And then we have a Tennessee 2 also. I like reading my favorite thing from the book here by John Randolph Price. It's a really cool book. What we do is we sit there and everybody's looking for more prosperity. Here's a good meditation to open the channels up for more prosperity. It starts off with my conscious awareness of the divine presence within me as my supply is my supply. I am now consciously aware of this indwelling fountain of overflowing abundance. Therefore, I am abundant supply. My consciousness is the very energy of money. I am the spirit of infinite plenty individualized. I am boundless abundance, and with love in my heart, I let the universal riches stream forth into perfect manifestation. What is expressed in love must be returned in full measure. Therefore, wave after wave of visible money supply flows to me now. I am wonderfully rich in consciousness, and I am bountifully supplied with money. I now realize my plan for abundant living. I see my bank account always filled with an all sufficiency to meet every need with divine surplus. I see myself sharing this bounty for the good of all, according to the guidance of spirit. I happily see every bill paid now, and joyfully see every obligation met now. With great delight, I see the abundance continuing to flow to me. I am a divine magnet for money, and as I lovingly receive it, I lovingly use it with great wisdom. Yeah. So you sit and look at the situation of abundance. You're saying to yourself all the time, the abundance is within you to attract abundance without. So therefore, we're trying to bring those things to us. And I just think it's really a great meditation, especially when you get to the bottom of what it talks about. I see my bank account always filled with an all sufficiency to meet every need with a divine surplus. So it's the ideal people in it. You need to stop focusing on what you don't got. Because the reason you don't have is because you're not asking. You're complaining about what you don't have instead of asking for what you want. And I see myself sharing this bounty for the good of all, according to the guidance of spirit. So therefore, spirit is going to be constantly leading you in the right direction, so therefore you don't misuse what you bring in. And that's what a lot of us are scared of doing. We're scared of having great abundance in our lives because we're scared we'll misuse it. Or we'll hurt somebody, or we'll walk all over somebody. Some people have a tendency to be scared of being rich because they're scared it will change them. Not realizing the situation of guidance that brought it into your life, that guidance could also help you attain the wisdom to also use it correctly. And then it also says, I happily see every bill paid now, and joyfully see every obligation met now. Okay, it's talking about now. What we mean by the now means right in this moment. This moment is the only moment it exists. There is no past. There is no future at this moment. It's just what is going on, what is happening. And when you sit here and focus on just that, you realize that everything is taken care of right at this moment. So there's no sense to worry about anything, because at this moment, if you're just sitting there relaxing, you don't have to make any decisions. So the idea of sitting there worrying about the whole thing will drive you silly. So you're in a situation, a state of relax. You're in a situation where you don't need to do anything. So therefore, you're there for a reason too, to relax and refuel yourself to do so. And then it says, with great delight, I see the abundance continuing to flow to me. So don't sit there and focus on not having anything. We all have a tendency to focus. I got all these bills, and I got all this, and I got this, and I got no money. It's saying, with great delight, see the abundance continuing to flow to me. Okay? I am a divine magnet for money. And as I lovingly receive it, I lovingly use it with great wisdom. So see how the meditation ends in the situation of saying, here comes great abundance. Don't worry about it. We will help you. We will give you what you need, as in the wisdom, to make proper decisions, to use that money in the correct way, not just to take care of your personal needs, but also the needs of your family and anybody that entails. So therefore, what is there to worry about? Nothing. So let's look at the situation and all these things are going on. If we just use that one part, I happily see every bill paid now. I joyfully see every obligation met now. That's a good affirmation in itself, isn't it? Every time we start complaining about bills or money or that kind of stuff, just say to ourselves, money comes easily and frequently. I happily see every bill paid now and joyfully see every obligation met. Yeah. And then we're trying to do everything also. We are trying to put things in a loving way. And we were talking about this before, where people don't understand how important it is to follow the heart. It says there is no separation between you and God, but that would mean there is something other than I am. There is not. The sense of separation is from the head, which has been sleeping. The truth is from the heart, which is awake and is the throne of God's self, the I am, surrendered to the heart, to spirit, to truth. Giving to the one reality at which you thought was personality. This surrender takes you into the stream of love where your thought processes will be anchored. No more confusion. Love is love. And you understand why you follow love, because there is no confusion. And the ideal of situations of anything that's going on in your life right now where you're not too sure about it is the idea of focusing on oneself, going inward, focusing on the love that you have for yourself, focusing on the God essence, which is pure love, and asking yourself, what do you feel? What do you see? What do you think? When you see a certain person or a certain situation or whatever, and listen to that guidance so clearly that you will definitely know the truth and what direction to proceed in. Okay? Surrender to the heart, the spirit, to truth, giving to the one reality that what you thought was personality. So even thinking, that's what I need to do. So it's just affirming that's what you need to do. This surrender takes you into the stream of love where your thought processes will be anchored. No more confusion. You will think from the heart, from feelings of love, and the head will be awakened with spiritual illumination. So in the process of following the love within yourself, in that presence that we call God essence, it's basically saying when you focus on that and put yourself in the stream of love, what happens? The mind, this thing, is spiritually illuminated. So therefore, you know. Not only will you feel and think truth, you will also see it. You will look through spiritual eyes and see only that which is real. And then you'll say, and it basically goes on and says, can you not hear God speaking to you, asking that you drop the idea of mortal self and with the supreme presence be the one self? Say yes and look to the heart and feel the love, light, and joy, the very kingdom, power, and glory. Say yes. So everybody who's sitting here going over the whole thing in their heads and wondering about love, why is it so important? The most important thing you can ever have. In the situation, in any situation, looking through those spiritual eyes, you're going to definitely know which way to go. So if anybody in the chat room has any questions that they ask us while we go on the air, then please do so. The show we're having tonight is basically what we're doing is we're putting a thing on. I just hit the wrong clicker. Anyway, tonight's episode, we're actually thinking, this is the way it goes. It's like Atlanteans. Were they really Olympian gods? and did they change the human race? Because a lot of us were thinking about aliens and coming from other planets and that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying they don't exist. It didn't happen that way. I'm just saying with the situation of some of the things we've seen, with the Atlanteans having, say, great technology, we're working with crystals and stuff, that the Greeks, the Romans, the Vikings, in the process of seeing what they saw, could you not, what the theory is, did they see these Atlanteans who were having great influence over the planet, not just in the region of the Mediterranean, that people saw these as God. So therefore, you know, when things are just a little out of your reach of comprehension, have the tendency to put the title God on it, when it could actually just be a lantern traveling around this planet. So it's one of those things where we're trying to put in there and say, hey, that was kind of a cool thing in itself. Me personally, I've also had visions of Khufu, who actually could have been, in the vision I got, could have been one of the last Atlanteans who built the Great Pyramid. And people have been speculating on the idea of how the Great Pyramid was even built in the first place. So the idea of look at the situation, the vision that I saw, brought it out to form and said, this is what's going on. He actually built the Great Pyramid himself with his powers of teleportation, and, you know, transferring these blocks. Because every time I would see the vision, I saw all these people, masses of people working around the Great Pyramid, but I've never actually done a past life reading on somebody who actually was part of the building of the pyramid itself. They were always working on the tombs, and they always seemed to be distant away from the Great Pyramid itself. But every time we focus on Khufu, there was a very, it's almost like some people wanted him to disappear because they didn't like something about his arrogance and how he just perceived things, and you know how people are when it comes to situations of belief. They want you to believe the way they do and not realizing that the ideal respect is the ideal giving one space to be themselves and realize they are going to be themselves in individuality. That's what it's all about. So we were sitting there going over all the information with that whole situation too. And so it's always been one of the situations of trying to explain a lot of things about Khufu because there's not a lot of history out there. Almost like the Egyptians did want him to disappear. I'm just saying the vision that I got, the process of using his great mental powers to build the Great Pyramid, his arrogance actually put him in a situation where he actually he restrained himself and actually had, he died of a brain aneurysm. So, you know, sometimes you got to watch what you got to do. And it seemed like they all had this really strong knowledge, anatomy, and those kind of things. And they would also talk about knowing that being the Atlanteans, this could be 9,000 years, was actually 900. And I've always gotten around 11,000 years with. And also a connection with Lemuria, with Lemurians before, who also developed into Atlanteans. And a lot of people say, well, maybe that wasn't their original name. And maybe it wasn't their original name. But it's one of those things that people have a tendency to identify with, and it makes it easier to comprehend the information it does come across. That we were just kind of like, these things were just coming to us, where you could almost take almost any kind of connection on this planet, and you could actually trace it back to Atlantis in some form, where we've had many shows on the daytime show that we're still trying to develop, which we did last year. We want to do this year. We just want to bring it up to 2 hours, so we're trying to bring in, I guess you would say, more donations and that kind of stuff, so we can actually go from 30 minutes to 2 hours, but it's just something you really can't do a lot with 30 minutes. And we still want to keep our 11 o'clock a.m. time slot, but it's just the idea of having more time to actually do something. And some of these topics can take on their own little energy and go where they want to go. Because we were sitting there going over the idea of Atlantis in the first place, and Atlantis, the city, did exist in the middle of the Mediterranean, where Crates is, and the continent itself, you say, existed too, between North America and South Africa. They both exist at the same time, but also in the same situation of Atlanteans spreading across the country. I mean, shoot, if you had great technology that they had, especially with travel and that kind of stuff, I don't think he would stay in one region. I think he would venture out and keep venturing out because, really, if you sit here and look at the idea of technology in itself, it's actually broadened our our minds a lot to where we've actually gone places that we normally wouldn't have gone. The moon, which is a big old debate that we really don't want to get in on this show, that we actually go there or didn't go there. But it is one of those situations where you look at the situation of when we were talking about technology and the idea of the Atlantic, the Greece going across these Olympian gods they thought were actually Atlantean. And the reason I see it that way is because when I look at these things and the visions I pick up on take me that way, for one thing. But I just see the interaction there. And it's kind of like hard to look at situations sometimes. Say, well, in some sense of the word, were the Atlanteans around at that time too? They have influences over the Egyptians, have influence over the Greeks, the Romans, that kind of thing. And to really look into the subject and some of the things we've seen, even to the point of seeing visions of the Atlanteans working with the government here, working on their own Stargate program. And what I've seen in the logical program, actually having a Stargate program, not as in the movie says, when they found the Stargate in 1914, but actually in the process of putting into works in 1914, Stargate program that was already something they were already looking into and that kind of stuff. So it is kind of amazing when you look at the Hubble telescope, some of the pictures have been picking up, or you feel like you're in that galaxy. Or that solar system. Some of the pictures are just so freaking clear and just like really round the money where you're like, I understand it's a really high advanced telescope itself. I'm just saying, I usually go with how I feel on a lot of things. So when I pick up on these things, I have a tendency to go that route. Really start putting a lot of energy to those things to see what I can pick up. And that's when I start picking the visions up. That's what I did when I looked at the Great Pyramid. The process of people saying, well, they said it was built in 28 years, and they were sort of doing the math. If you built the Great Pyramid in 28 years, you're basically putting a block in place about every 2 minutes or something like that. Even the process of even thinking about it in minutes really baffles the mind, because we know for a fact from the things and the some of the artifacts and paintings and that kind of stuff showing how the pyramid was done doesn't make any sense. So we're just trying to put, as we call our show in the mornings, missing spiritual link. It means when there's a spiritual link missing, there's always a gap to jump from advancement in one's spirituality. And we're just trying to fill in the blank. So if you have any questions about that yourself, well, we've had many shows about looking at the Roman, the northern gods, the Roman gods, the Greek gods, the always coming from above. They always seem to have a base of operation on some mountain or some location here. I mean, they were even talking about the archangels actually having places that they live here on the planet. Places that they like. Archangel Michael resides in Florida, and Archangel Raphael resides in Greece, and things like that. So it makes you wonder, like this one guy was talking about before, he said in the process of writing his book, I gotta get the information on that too, but he said that he's not denouncing God doesn't exist, the angels and that kind of stuff. He's just saying that in the process of some of these things, he just doesn't see God needing any kind of machinery, move around, any kind of shields or plates or like that. In the process of us working with angels and stuff, they always work with energy as protection. It makes you wonder, why would I need any kind of spiritual or certain technology? We would get a certain technology to actually protect ourselves, and simply we could just invoke the energy or the white energy to protect ourselves. So we start looking at the Atlantean gods and Olympian gods, not Atlantean gods, but looking at that. And you sit here and look at the situation with the Atlanteans too. They have these things about Poseidon. Those always seem to go back to Greek Roman gods. When you sit here and focus on Atlantis itself, you know, a lot of cultures, even in myths, have gods that they worship and that kind of stuff. And I was sitting here looking at the idea of Atlantis, and they believe in one So, and the rest of the other cultures have these many gods. So, you know, since you can connect all those together, it's something to really think about, isn't it? So in the process, we're going to ponder and go over some more of this stuff as we go throughout the show. But we are going to start taking some calls and see what's up. So let's go to our first caller again and see if they're there. We're going to go to 760 area code. You're on the air. Welcome to the show. And how are you?
Hello?
Hold on. Sometimes. All right, can I hear him? You there?
Hello.
Yes, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
I have a question. I'm trying to tune into myself and develop my clair abilities. Do you see any clair abilities in me? Like clairvoyant, clairaudient.
How do you work on them?
I'm trying to work on them now. I mean, I've always had this thing that, I don't know, numbers come to my head, or like messages come to my head. I just, now that I'm reading about it, I feel like maybe I have it in me, but I want to see if I have anything else, if it's natural in me, if I need to develop them. I don't know. Do you feel anything? Do you see anything? I don't know. By my voice.
All right. How do I pick up on the situation? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. For the process of what the thing, all I can do is tell you what I've gone through, and the idea of working on clairvoyance and clairaudient and stuff like that is the idea of working with the spiritual senses, as in physical too. Like the one thing I used to do the most was with clairaudience. What I would do is I would go out to a nice place, probably about 10 or 11 o'clock at night, where it was really quiet, and then I would sit very still and try to see how far I could hear.
Okay, and that's how it developed? Is that how it developed?
Did I say clairaudient?
Yeah, is that how your clairaudient developed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was also saying before, clairaudience is the idea of what I was sitting here focusing on hearing things. On your clairvoyant is the idea of I would work on see how far I could see. I would focus on certain things. I used to go hiking in the mountain. When I got to a certain part in the mountain, I could actually look down and see traffic lights and stuff like that. So I would sit there and look at those traffic lights and see how clear I could get them to come in. And they were pretty good distances, 4 or 5 miles. And I was just here and focused on them and watch them and see what was going on and paying attention to every little aspect of that picture. Your car is pulling up, what color car was it, and that kind of stuff. And after you do that with clairaudience, in the clairsentient, is the idea of also doing the same thing, but opening yourself up to see what you can feel.
Okay.
It's like the idea of sitting. Sometimes people think it's like martial arts kind of stuff. See, in martial arts, we used to blindfold ourselves. But therefore,
yeah,
we could focus on the environment. So we knew where things were, and we could feel it. And that was the sense of that whole thing of feeling things, where you could feel energy and that kind of stuff coming in the air. And the reason you focus on these physical aspects first is the ideal. The spirituals are just extensions of those physical traits that we have, okay?
Yeah. Exactly what you're saying is exactly what I've read online. So, I know that it's true that I do have to do these things, but how long does it take to... Really, if I were to do this for an hour every day and on top of that meditate for maybe half an hour, how long do you think it takes? Would I, maybe if I do it for a while, would I know myself? Like, do I end up seeing things and hearing things?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, if you have the time, it's one of those things you can go over a little bit. I mean, I know I do the meditations. I like the meditations I've been reading. I'll go through the meditations and then I will go back on the words that I had trouble with. I feel like the reason I had trouble with those because those are connected to things within myself I need to let go of. I would go over them until I can actually clearly say it, just feel it within myself. Because the clairsentient is actually feelings from your solar plex, and then you bring it up. It's like focusing on your solar plex and bringing it up to your third eye. So therefore, we talk about like feelings around the same area, focusing on feeling the. One other aspect I was saying was.
Okay.
The what?
Oh no! Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm just saying, when we started talking about before at the beginning of the show, focusing on love, focusing on through the heart. As you focus and follow your heart, it's the idea you see the truth. You feel it, you think it, you know it, you see it. And what they're saying in the process of love is energy. So it's the idea of channeling that love throughout your chakras, which is also another thing you should do too, is balance out your chakras, cleanse your chakras so they're wide, they're clear for you to work with. But also realizing what your solar plex is. Your solar plex is an energy center that you bring in. This energy is coming to you, and these energy centers help you to interpret. And a lot of times we focus on the solar plex that we're feeling, but we also use the third eye to actually, not necessarily the process of feeling, but also see it. And usually when we do those things, mm-hmm. we're feeling the things from our gut. It's usually because of somebody we're dealing with, or a situation that we're in, so therefore it is right there as we're experiencing, and that's why you need to do that.
For opening up the chakras, do I just focus on meditation, and is that how they open up, and like, is that how it works with the third eye too? Like, how do you actually open the third eye? Through meditation?
Yeah, so the chakras are like this. You have there's more than just the 7 or 9 chakras, depending who you talk to. But the one thing they're talking about is the root chakra, which is at the base of the spine. And you have a sacral chakra, which is with you, would be around your ovaries. For a male, it would be the testicles. And then the next one up is the solar plexus, which is right around the, I think it's about, I always looked at it as a couple of inches above your belly button. And then you look at to the heart chakra, which is right around, that's where the heart is. But also with the heart, you have a lot of things there around that area where you also have a space behind the heart. Okay, and you have a space behind the heart where they always say the God essence is. And as you focus on that, use your imagination to see an aqua blue plasma, which I always have seen as the God essence. And then also the chakras, your root chakra is red, it's ruby red. Like I said, it's a root chakra, it's for like security. Financial security, as in feeling safe and that kind of stuff, as being grounded. We use that a lot to ground, too. And then the sacral chakra is the one in charge of desires, wants and desires. You there?
Yeah, so during meditation, do I actually like visualize this in my mind? Like, I just visualize the chakras and I just look at them and the colors and all that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, just focus on the colors. Focus on the colors. We got the one that's, like I said before, the root chakra is red, the sacral chakra is orange, your solar plex, which is the third one up, that's yellow. You can actually classify the sunshine yellow. And then you go up, and then you go to the heart chakra, which has been classified as it's green. It's, what's the green? Emerald green. What do I think of that?
Okay.
Emerald green, and then you go to the throat chakra, which is right there where you're right there in that where the two shoulder where the shoulder blades, not the shoulder blades. I'm talking about the collarbones.
Mm-hmm.
The collarbones come together. You have a thing called the throat chakra, which is robin blue, and then we have the third eye chakra, which is indigo. And some people say that there are ear chakras, which go about a 45-degree angle. Which connect behind the third eye and go down to each ear at a 45-degree angle, and they're actually classified as it's a red, but it's more of it's a mixture of red and purple.
Okay, I know that color.
Right, and then you go up to the crown chakra, which is purple.
Like the big flower, right?
Right.
And how long do I focus on these chakras for? How long do I do them for?
Well, see, the one thing I tell people, see, the pivotal individual, when you're working with these kind of things and you're working on them, what you need to do is you go over them until you feel something with yourself. It's almost like the idea of following your intuition to find what works for you. I have this one thing that I use. I used to go to, it was a book by Doreen Virtue called Chakra Clearing. It's a little book. It's a little hardback. Well, you can get two versions, a paperback and a hard copy. But I always tell people, if you can find a hard copy, it's actually got a free CD in it, where it says that you should, on the CD, it has two meditations, one in the morning and one at night. And they recommend that you do chakra cleansing in the morning, so therefore you're clear for the day. And then when you get home and you're ready to go to sleep, you should do a chakra clearing to clear out everything you picked up that day, any kind of negativity. Clear that out and all kinds of stuff that goes with that. So there you're constantly... the chakras are constantly being stimulated and they're working for you instead of against you. But sometimes they can actually pick up things and negativity that you don't get rid of. In the process of trying to manifest things, they can actually work against you. And the road trying to get things cleared too as well. I'm just saying, sometimes it's good to get a hold of a book or something like that. But there was one I picked up not too long ago by a guy named John Holland. And he has a book called Psychic Navigator. And it's in kind of a little hardback book. It's got a little CD in it where it shows you meditation, but it has a thing on there. And it's called chakra chanting. And what it is, it's got a chant for each one of the chakras that you kind of like for the root chakra, the sound is lam. What you do is you pronounce it like lam, and you really draw it out. And then what you do, the reason I recommend that, because in the process of working with the chant, you can feel the vibration. So later on when you're working with some other meditation to work with your chakras.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, you can feel the vibration, because what you're trying to do is you're trying to balance out your frequency on those things so they're actually balanced. That's what it means, like, to balance your chakras. A lot of people think that they're all... Because a lot of times what you're trying to do is you're just putting in the spirit where it's like, okay, balance out the chakras. And you can actually do some really simple chakra meditations to balance out your chakras. But sometimes with situations, you'll find out that there's a couple of your chakras that need a little bit more work. And I noticed that when I did the chakra chanting, I could go through all those chakra chantings one after another for a couple of minutes. And usually it's recommended for 5 minutes or more so you can actually feel the vibration. But sometimes it's like your intuition will kick in and say, well, I think I need to go back, and especially if you have some fun.
Okay. And you do the chakra chanting for each chakra, right? For the vibration for each one?
Yeah, you should go back to your... You should go back, like I'm saying before, if you have financial situations, you would focus more on your chakra, on your root chakra. If you're having matters of the heart, then you focus on the heart chakra a little bit more, things like that.
What do you mean matters of the heart?
Huh?
What do you mean matters of the heart?
Matters of the heart?
Yeah, what do you mean?
Mm-hmm. So you're asking a question about the matters of the heart, is what you're saying?
Yeah, what do you mean?
Okay. Well, I'm just having a little bit of trouble with your phone, that's all. I'm trying to hear what you're saying.
It's okay. I have another question. For people's auras, by doing this meditation, do you end up seeing people's auras? Is that how it works, through the meditation?
Okay. Say it one more time.
To see people's auras, does that come from the meditation as well?
Uh-huh. What you're saying is, okay, I'm trying to get this, so there's this really extortion in your phone where you keep cutting in and out, like you're like driving down a road and your window's up, or your window's down. So you're saying... you're saying like some people... Do they need to do more meditations on their heart, or when they're having when they're having relationship problems?
Oh, I see. Okay, so they do chanting to vibrate that chakra, right?
Yeah, there's a chakra for the heart.
Okay.
That's emerald. I think that one there is emerald green, and a lot of people really need to work more on that, because that's the one that probably takes the most, I want to say damage, but I'm going to say the word damage, I just want to say, it probably gets battered more than most, because people, when we're really open, and when we're open like that, even with our significant other, sometimes we'd be picking things up from other people too as well. So yeah, people should definitely take a little bit more time with the heart chakra.
So
and the heart chakra is in their solar
plexus.
Huh?
Sorry, so you basically meditate and just visualize the emerald green color and do the chanting to vibrate that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, because I'm just saying, keep working with it, because, you know, you really can't put a timeline on, because basically spirituality is a progression throughout your whole life, so it's the ideal of just getting to a point where you know why you're attracting things, you're working through the heart, and you're following your heart's desires, and you're doing exactly like that, and you're allowing yourself to see the truth, so therefore you can proceed in the right direction you need to go into. So if you want to look at the situation, how long will it take for you to get to that point, that pretty much depends upon you, as the idea of listening to yourself. And so, okay, I think I need to go and work more on the heart chakra, so you work on that. It's an intuitional thing. So it's like a full circle. If you're constantly working and meditations and that kind of stuff. But meditation is like not really control. It's the idea of letting go, realizing, opening up to the angels and saying, okay, I'm having problems with this. Could you help me out and lead me in the right direction? So in the process of meditations, you're opening yourself up more to your angels. But the other things are just the idea to keep those avenues open, so therefore you can hear the messages a whole lot clearer. All right? And the more you keep, allow yourself to hear, and not just the idea, like I said before, not just the idea of hearing what is coming through of guidance, but also trusting exactly, you're getting it just exactly the way it's supposed to. That's why you work on the chakras and the aura. And one thing about the book that I was saying about, with the Growing Virtues book and John Holland's book, they do discuss the aura. They also give you colors, insights. And the books are very informative, where you can just sit down and go over this whole thing, and then focus on listening to yourself and making sure that you always go inwards when things are happening, not outwards. Because a lot of people sit there and go, well, my life sucks. So they want to go and do classes, and they want to hang out with people and that kind of stuff. And the only way you're going to get the outside of your life, of what's going on, is what you're seeing as reality. The only way you're going to get that to change is you have to go inwards, not outwards. And a lot of people, even when they go to meditation, they think they're listening to their guides, but what they're doing is listening through the ego. That's why we always want to keep all the channels open, do the chakra cleanse, and also listen to oneself. I'm not saying friends and family, all these things. I'm not saying family and friends are not good, but you don't do what they say. You take the advice, you go inwards, and you go, okay, with everything I've been told and the advice I get, you have to open yourself up to the point, because you're going to be getting advice from people's perceptions too. And you have to look at it, you know, you have to look at the situation and go, okay, these people are here, and what they tell me and the advice they give me, does it also reflect in their lives?
Okay.
So people are sitting there going, wow, there's a lot of stuff to think about. But what you need to do is just focus on the positive. You don't really need to keep tabs on everybody. It's just the ideal of how it hits you, how it resonates. And I think I know for a fact that when I started doing chakra clearings, I've been doing this work for a long time, but it wasn't until I started doing chakra clearings that those senses were open. And I've been doing psychic work for a long time, but I know for a fact when I first started doing chakra clearings, real good chakra clearings, I had to stay in my apartment for 3 or 4 days because my senses were like off the charts, very sensitive.
Okay.
Okay.
And
alrighty.
One more last question. For opening up the third eye, a lot of people tell me to, when I meditate, just look up where my eyebrows are. Is that true? Is that how you open it up, or is there other ways to open it up?
Well, you always see people. One thing I was talking about before with the chakra books was the one particular one, I think it's John Holland. In there, they have keywords for him. Like for the third eye, I see. And I think what you need to do, not just the idea of focusing on the third eye, but also tell yourself, I see. As a keyword, I see this. And when you see certain things, as in I don't know, because when you see people, you know, most people think it goes to the third eye, and you know, okay, what do I see here? And you can focus on the third eye, yeah, go upwards and focus on the third eye, but I would sit here and say, what do I see? And focus on the third eye, because that, it was one meditation I saw that was kind of wild, where when you meet people, you focus on their third eye, and then open yourself up for interpretation, you know, just open your up and say, okay, I'm focusing on this person's third eye. What do I hear? They say, and I've actually picked this up myself, that when you focus on another person's third eye, right there on the forehead, you actually mm-hmm. hear what they're really thinking. Not what's coming out their mouth.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Yeah. So when you sit here and look at the situation, wow. I have a friend, we'll put it like this. I have a friend right now that I've been talking to that when this particular person says things, let's put it this way, when she says anything, if people don't realize that when you do meet, as we call our significant other, the one we're going to spend the rest of our lives with, when that happens, you know each other very well. So when the situation starts happening, that's why I always tell people in relationship counseling, if this is one, which I feel like it is the one, and you need to learn how to speak your mind, speak the truth, because that person will do nothing but respect you and understand why you're saying it, which is just help them to improve. But also the same thing when you have problems with each other. It also helps you look through the illusion of what they're trying to tell you to actually see the truth as well, because you're actually following your heart and you love that person. You love that person. So it's just being true to yourself that you hear the truth. And some people have a tough time with it because they're trying to convey a different picture to you. Okay? They're trying to give you a different perception. On purpose. And what it is you're sitting, as long as you keep following yourself to the heart and you keep the chakras open and you keep doing the work, you will see past the lie. And this is not the idea of looking for this person is a liar. No, it's the idea to see the truth so you can actually get to the root of the problem. So maybe you can actually work through these problems that you're having with each other to the point where you can get that part where you can communicate, and then they'll communicate with you. They realize that you can see it and that it will come to them and say, well, if this person can really see that, even though no matter what I say to them or what kind of should I try to get them to look at, but they can still choose to see the truth, then they'll see you as who you really are, and they'll see that you are the truth. And this will help them gravitate to you, which in the point will also bring you two together, and you'll probably even have a stronger connection than you did before, commitment, and just, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is what it is. And with everything else in your life, with that kind of realization, then everything else in your life, you can see through this illusion that has been portrayed and realizing that it's just thoughts that you had in the past that might be still coming through to manifest certain things. And as long as you keep looking through it, they will be a thing in the past. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you so much.
I just want you to, we can knock it down to a common under. Just follow your heart. A lot of people sit here and go, well, if you follow the heart, it gets me in trouble. No, it doesn't get you in trouble. It's showing you, as you call it, because you're actually looking through the illusion of seeing reality. But see, your perception might be still at one point in your life. It's still stuck in the past. So what you're trying to do is, as you're seeing things unfold, you need to do these cleansings and these meditations to let go of that past so it no longer distinguishes, it no longer makes the future look foggy or make that person or situation or career, you start seeing it for what it is and you start realizing that's the direction I need to go in. It's just the idea of hanging on to certain things in your past. And that's what I'm saying with you. It's like you're hanging on to a lot of perceptions, but you still have this thing in your mind where you think there's limitations. See, the point is looking at situations, looking people right in the face and go, if you got people around you who keep bringing up your limitations and saying you're not ready for this, you're not ready for that, that's not their business. To say those things to you unless you've actually asked them for the advice, okay? It's one of those things of looking at those people and saying, okay, why are you telling me this? And then sitting there, go inside, follow the heart, you'll see how true they really are, because you will see the truth. A lot of times with all this confusion going on out there, what we should do, it's simply the truth does not go along with what we perceive. But see, we're trying to change our perception, so we're going to have to step out of that and take a leap of faith and go up that road. Of truth, I'm just saying, be prepared to be taken away from taken away from what you know, what you're comfortable with, because you're going to be taken into something that you're not. But what that is just a different it's a different world. It's your future. Your future. Don't let it be dictated like from your past where you're like, oh, I know what to do. That was familiar. No, you want to go into the unfamiliar. And when you do these chakra clearings and that kind of stuff, that's exactly what's going to happen. All right? And it's the idea we have to stay true to ourselves so the people around us will either get enlightened or they will become a thing of the past too.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Okay. Do you have any more questions?
I really appreciate it. No, that's it. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too. I'm just hoping, because, I mean, like I tell everybody before, when we do these shows and stuff, you know, spirit, when it moves and the information starts flowing and there are these things happening and that kind of stuff, we just want to make sure that the information is given to you. And some people think we're flooding people with a lot of information. But the mind and the brain is a whole lot more efficient than you give it credit for. And if you just open yourself up to the whole thing and say, oh, I just heard all this stuff from this guy, I'm not really sure about it. This is a really good example of getting in touch with your own angels and asking for clarification. Because I'm telling you right now, if you want to simplify the whole thing, follow your heart. Okay, just follow the heart. And we're going to take a little bit of a break here because I've been drinking a lot of fluids. So we're going to listen to a couple songs here, and I want to bring out here, and I want you to guys listen to this Journey song, and I want you to be good to yourselves. I'll be right back.
Thank you.
buddy. How you doing over back? And I was just going over some stuff myself when I was sort of focusing on things. You know, the idea of the truth, And we were talking about duality, and people say the reason I've been talking about duality doesn't exist is the idea that when you're focusing on something at that moment, it doesn't. And it's just the ideal perception of humankind who looks at things and go, well, I almost got hit by a car. If you really look at the situation, what I was talking about before, of following the heart, then you start seeing things, okay? You will start seeing things as in there is no such thing as almost. Either it is or it isn't. So therefore, duality, when you love somebody and you care about somebody and you're deeply in love with that person, at that moment, the only thing that exists is love. When you're focusing on all their, you start focusing on bad traits and negativity and that kind of stuff, you notice it pulls you in, one direction or the other. So the idea of duality means something is to be experienced all at the same time. And what we're saying is, realistically, following the truth and following your heart, there's only one path to choose, and only one you can live at that time. So that's what I'm saying. If you're out there and you're in a relationship with somebody and this person is trying to look at certain things in a way, who's saying, I love you, but I'm not in love with you, take it from a relationship counselor. That's bullshit. Sorry. There is no such thing as in or out. Not in the sense as in what they're trying to portray to you. It's an illusion. What it is a person who's scared, who's fearful of the situation, who wants to make an excuse to pull back when they should just be honest with you and say, hey, you know something? I'm not really sure about this. Then you could actually work on it and, you know, work through it. So many people just want to run away because they're scared that you won't work with them on the whole situation, so they're not too sure about it. I'm telling you right now, the situation with those things, I'm telling you, that's the whole thing of following the heart. The heart would tell you to confront it, not run away from it. It also would tell you the person you're with does love you, who does care about you enough to go through those things. And if you ran away and you're feeling like you messed up, well, admit to yourself, okay, I admit I messed up. I made the wrong decision. But you made a decision that took you down a path. So learn what you got to learn. It could be just the idea of realizing what you had and now you want it back. So take the steps and go. And do what you got to do, because if it's leading you in that direction and you're following your heart and you go back there, you're going to find out one thing. The person you're wanting to be with is still available, and it's probably you'll probably both be on the same page. So therefore, that's what I'm saying before about getting that great commitment. It just might have took some different avenues to get there, but you will get it. So put it in there. Do what we got to do. Because like I was saying before, these separations are just an illusion. Like it says in this, here, it says, there is no separation between you and God. You are one. For that would mean that there is something other than I am. There is not. The sense of separation is from the head, thinking too much. Thinking. And the reason the person wants to keep thinking, because they don't want to look at the truth. The truth is so... That's the concrete. Because we're talking about the poor, you know? The idea of the head. Okay, which has been sleeping. It's sleeping, man. It's not opening up to the possibilities because it's almost like it doesn't have any direction because the heart is not in it. It's just the head. And then something comes along and say you haven't dealt with it. You're keeping yourself in that head mode. You're keeping the head asleep because you don't want to sit there and look at the ideal, what the truth really is. And then all of a sudden something comes into your life. Maybe it's a person, that person, situation, career that you gave up, or whatever it is, it's coming back in your life, and it makes you more confused. The reason it makes you more confused is because what you're seeing at that moment is the truth, which doesn't go along with what you're trying to hang on to. So we look at that situation and say, okay, selfishness? Yeah, because you refuse to sit there and go, oh, all the things I've ever wanted, career, life, relationship, finances, is being kept from me because I refuse to look at the truth on how to acquire those things, which has all to do with love. It's the energy of love. The energy of love, when we classify with the heart, is green. But we also know abundance is green too as well. So see, they're on the same wavelength. In the process of loving unconditionally, we attract everything to us. Not just a couple things, everything. And so if your paths have crossed with a person, career, situation, a financial situation and get you out of your bad financial situation, and you're saying, oh, I'm confused which way I should go, I think you've already seen it very clearly. But you're also trying to figure out how you can keep what you got now, not realizing the chip. And the point of making that decision to go down a different path is going to be different to you. It's going to be unfamiliar. You need to sit there. You also need to look at the situation of a swords card. The Two of Swords is a prime example that describes this whole thing. The Two of Swords says it's just not a decision, as in duality and that kind of thing. What it's saying is you need to let go of the past. You need to let go of the future. Therefore, so the past can be gone, and the future can unfold like it's supposed to, freely. But you also notice the woman has a blindfold on, too, as well. She has a blindfold on. The reason is because what it's doing there, it's like if you've seen in martial art movies where people put a blindfold on, they're going inwards to feel what is around them. And that's what it's trying to do. It's trying to get you to focus within yourself. And when you focus within yourself, then you find the answers you're looking for because they've been there the whole time. And if you're not going there, you need to go there. That's what we're talking about, the confusion. You're keeping yourself in the brain, in the head. You're not allowing yourself to love freely and to tap into that love. Because if you did, there would be no confusion. It would be just that obvious, okay? And the idea of people say, well, you know, I've traveled down the road and I've gotten hurt. How'd you get hurt? Or I got myself in financial problems or something like that. Put these things, it's like I said before, follow the heart. Follow the heart, why? Because you're going to look at those situations. Because at that moment you're making those accusations, you're not following and going with the heart because you're looking at those as problems. They are not problems. They're just things that you did to either keep contact with somebody or something you did out of the ordinary you wouldn't normally do for somebody else. And you got to think about the situation. Here's a person that you're deeply in love with that you went out of your way to do something you normally wouldn't do for anybody else. When you're going out of your way to do something for somebody else, you're doing that for a reason. It's more likely that at that moment you are feeling your heart. You're going with the heart. You're following through. You're following your heart at that moment because you don't care. Money's not important. Situations are not important. People are not important. The one person that's important to you is that one that you want to keep that line open to, or whatever it is. It's the same thing with when you go out of your way to go and do that career. There are certain things you're going to do. You're going to put yourself in a shop. You're going to step out there in a leap of faith to open a shop that most people will probably sit here and do the same thing like they deal with relationships. Oh, I don't think I should do that or not because that's something I wouldn't do, or it's something that is scary, but it is a leap of faith of going off with somebody who's totally different, who would you never would think about going off with. And the same thing, for example, I started my first shop. I mean, to walk out and start relying solely on me to make a living instead of going to a job where we think that's very easy because all you got to do is get in a car, drive, or walk, or whatever, getting on the distance between. But those are leaps of faith, too. To open that shop, to start doing what our hearts desire. What do we love to do? What do we want to start as a business? Those are the things we got to focus on. So you see what I'm saying? How they all fall in the same category as love, the relationship you've always wanted, how to see it for what it is, the truth, those kind of things. These things are not something that you're sitting there trying to figure out. I mean, like, for example, if you're in a relationship, it has nothing to do with the guy or a woman. You're sitting there going, oh, I think these people really deeply love me. If you're following your heart, you would know. There's no thinking about it. If it's the shop that you should open up or this is the career you should do, it's the thing of focusing on following your heart and see where it goes, because I guarantee you the opportunities will come to you for those things to happen. Spirituality. Relationships. There's like four or five of them. Your house. Your home. See, the reason the house and home is very important is because that's like the center of operations for you, where you feel comfortable, where when all this craziness is going out in the world, it's someplace you go to. So we got three. When you follow your heart and you live where you want to live and let it go and let it fall into place where it needs to, because you might not have a lot of these things you don't understand. Excuse me. There's a lot of these things you don't understand when you go down this path. But you just keep proceeding in the pursuit because you know you're following your heart. You know you're following the love. You're in the stream of love. And I guarantee you, when you put yourself in that stream, it's going to anchor those thoughts. So therefore, you're not confused. You're going to feel calm about it. You're going to do it. It's going to be unknown, but why not proceed to go down that path like a child in anticipation of what's going to happen? You don't need to know everything. have that anticipation as it unfolds, to enjoy it, to live it, to be spontaneous. And some people even get themselves in these situations where it's a spontaneous thing, and you have another friend that says, you know, you should have this thing all planned out. You should do all this. No, life is really a spontaneous thing. And if you look back on all the things that really happened really great in your life, they were all spontaneous things that just happened you didn't know. Well, this thing here, it talks about that, too. It talks about surrender to the heart, to spirit, to truth, giving to the one reality that you, which you thought was personality. Okay, so you thought about it, and you knew following your heart, following spirit, following the truth is what you needed to do. You just wasn't sure it was part of the person. You just wasn't sure it was part of your personality, a part of who you was. And when you surrender to it, you realize that you are one and the same. That's your truth, too. It's the ideal stimulating you. And going inwards and realizing that God's self, when it hears the truth, it's God within you, acknowledging that. So it's you and God becoming one at that moment to realize that there is no duality. There is no separation. You know what to do. It's just the ideal. God always knows what he has to do. There's no imperfections in body. There's no imperfection in relationships. There's nothing. It just all happens spontaneously. So then you surrender. The surrender takes you into the stream of love where your thought processes will be anchored. When you anchor those thought processes, you realize the reason you've been thinking so much is because you're trying to come up with an answer. But once you go inside and go to that stream of love where your thought processes will be anchored, it's like foundation. It's always been within you that you have to tap into, okay? So the user look at the situation, it says you will think from the heart, from feelings of love, and the head will awaken. With spiritual illumination, the heart will follow. Where the heart goes, the head will follow. Okay? And it will understand why. And they will all, we get rid of the duality there, and they both work together. Okay? They both work together in the situation of spiritual illumination in the mind. So therefore, when the heart sees it, then the head interprets it just like that. Go together, and then you no longer have to think about anything. Thinking is a sense of worry. Worry and thinking have a tendency to go hand in hand because you start thinking all the possibilities. Oh, did I make a mistake? Did I do this? Or was this person really like this? And that kind of What you need to do is realize if you listen to your heart, the heart only knows one truth. That's love. So therefore, that person that you're looking at, you will know for a fact that they do or don't. You will know that the career that you love is a go or not. Where to go to get, and in the process, we go to that fourth little thing of spirituality, and I guarantee your spiritual life will kick off too as well, so therefore they're coming all together. And the next thing you're going to know that you're having success in every part of your life. You listen to the heart and you go where you got to go. That's what I do. I mean, in the situation, I think I'm getting back to it too, where I kind of focus on this all the time, where it's like, not only will I feel and think truth, I will also see it, and I'll be looking through spiritual eyes and seeing only which is real in life. So therefore, I'll know exactly where I need to go. When I go get my home, when I go and start a business, that special someone in your life, you will know. You will go past the point of faith. You will just no. It will be one of those eureka moments where you sit here and go, okay, I made mistakes. I went the wrong direction. Or I did this. Or I did that. But you know something? I just realized which way to go. So you're going to sit here and look at your life like it's like five or six highways coming together, going down to one single back road, to calm and serenity. You just had to get back to the country to realize the city was chaotic. But there's many avenues how to get out of that busy, busy city and to find that calm and serenity you're looking for. Okay? And the next thing you know, you're going to hear God speaking to you. And he's going to say to you, he's going to ask you to please drop the ideal of mortal self and let the supreme presence be the one self, which means be yourself. Be true to yourself. Thyself be true. And what it says, what it really means by thyself be true, means be true to you. Because God wants you to be true to you too as well, because that's the idea of reconnecting with him as well. And realize it's not really a reconnection, it's the idea of realizing that connection's always been there. Just acknowledgement. So say yes. Say yes. the love, light, and joy, the yes, the very kingdom, power, and glory. Why? Because when it says focus on the kingdom of God, what it's actually saying to you is the idea of focusing on the positive in life. And if you do that, that's all you're ever going to see. You, what we said that before, too, when you look at the situation of love, when you focus on love and you follow your heart, that's all you will see. There will be no question. You will look at that one person and say, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he or she is the one. And that when we sit here and look at the situation of the principles of life, too, as well, then you just start getting this thing in your head where everything is just falling into place. But it's the idea of putting these things together and constantly working with them to keep those channels open. So when we sit here and look at the situation, so I'm actually trying to find that one I was looking at. In the process of knowing this, you will know exactly which way to go. You will listen. See, you'll be a divine knower. And you'll watch, you'll listen, you'll wait, you'll see, you'll hear, you'll know. And then you'll move forward to accomplish that which you know that you need to do. And we're talking about the principles too, where you just relax and say, okay, the principles of life in themselves is just the idea of realizing that romance, and I want to make sure I got those five little things in the middle here. Because it talks about the idea, and we're going to read this very quickly too as well, we'll get to more callers. But it's talking about the divine walls or the principle of being, the principles of being, the living energies of the angels, the reality of life, the way things are in truth. The law says my body is whole, vibrant, and well. That radiant health is my true nature. Regardless of appearances, I accept its truth. So therefore, you look at the situation of perfect health. Perfect health is the law. It says that your body should be whole, vibrant, and well. And what you should be focusing on is saying, my body is whole, vibrant, and well. That radiant health is my true nature. And then you sit there and kind of take the other part out. Instead of saying, regardless of appearances, I accept that truth. What you do is you just go, my body is whole, vibrant, and well. That radiant health is my true nature. I accept this truth. And then you sit there and say, the law says the scarcity is against the law. That abundance is natural, and that my finances are continually in a state of all sufficiency. Regardless of appearances, I accept this truth. Go back over it and say that abundance is natural, and that my finances are continually in a state of all sufficiency. I accept this truth. Then go back and look over the thing and say, the law says my relationships are warm, loving, caring, and meaningful, and that everyone I meet reflects back to me the true spirit of love and goodwill. Regardless of appearances, I accept this truth. Go back over and say, my relationships and that significant other that I see so clearly in my mind, we are warm, loving, caring, and meaningful. And that everyone we meet reflects back to us the true spirit of love and goodwill. I accept this truth. Then we go on to the success. We say, the law says my success in life is assured. That I am in my true place doing what I love and loving what I do. Regardless of appearances, I accept this truth. We go back and say it to ourselves like this as a nice little affirmation. Success. You say to myself, my success in life is assured. That I am in my true place doing what I love and loving what I do. I accept this truth. The law says that what I accept, I will experience. I have accepted with all my heart and mind, and I know that by law, all that is good, true, and beautiful in life is rushing to me now. The law is fulfilled, and so am I. You almost want to go, da-da-da, okay? So we sit here and look at these situations and these powerful messages, and I hope you all took it in and take it away with all. And because I feel like real, seriously, if you're out there and you're like in this state of confusion about anything in your life, I guarantee you, if you follow your heart and just let yourself see the truth, feel it, know it, then I guarantee you the confusion you've been experiencing will not be there anymore, and you'll know which way to go, and you'll probably figure out that the only reason you were confused is because you refused to make a decision. If you felt like somebody was pushing you into any kind of situation, you'll realize one thing. The reason you felt pushed, because you were standing still and refusing to make a decision. You're probably sitting there and embracing your past and something you were comfortable with. At the same time, you're sitting there saying, I don't like my life. I want to make a change. Well, that change has to come within you. To get that outer to change the way you want it to, the way you want it to be. But see, the Eureka moment is to realize it can happen just like that. So, anybody has any questions like that? When you're talking about the ideal Atlanteans and Olympians and that kind of stuff, it's the ideal of what is out there, truth. And what I was saying before with some of the visions and stuff I've seen, I've just followed through. Places I've lived and places I did. I just didn't listen to people. Okay? They told me that in a relationship once, but they said, two people cannot have a relationship through the internet and that kind of stuff. Did I listen? No, I proceeded to go forward. And I'm still looking forward to great expectations on that one. And it was the same thing with the ideal of getting houses. People said, well, you should get a trailer because you really don't have the money to get a house. Did I listen to them? No, I went out and got a house. Got a 4-bedroom, 2-bathroom home. It had the windows like I wanted to, had the backyard, front yard, all kinds of stuff in that whole thing. I mean, it just fell in place. And work and that kind of stuff, when I really put myself into it, it all goes the direction. It's when I start listening to other people, even in a split second, if some kind of little bit of direction hinders what's going on, because the angels, your guides, guardian angels, Holy Spirit, your higher self, angels, ascended masters, archangels, everybody's working with you. Jesus, God, they're leading you into a direction that you need to go into. They would never lead you anywhere else that would be harmful to you. They will lead you in the direction of truth, what your life was meant to be. They're just wanting you to embrace that. So what are you going to do? You're going to sit down and look at the situation of a person that you're deeply in love with and let your resistance down to be happy. Look at that person. Don't look at the outer situation. Don't get pulled into society's tricks of age, preference, distance. All these things can be overcome by just listening to your heart, your angels and guides. Because if you have to listen to your heart and listen to truth, where is the truth coming from? Your angels and guides are around you to assist you. They want to get through as quick and clear as possible. That's the ideal following yard. When you sit here and look at the situation, like we said before, the biggest thing out there is relationships. And those are the big roots, and those are the things that most people focus on, that kind of stuff. And I'm just saying, with the situation, look at these things very clearly. Because if you started making excuses, the person's too old, the person's too far away. Well, my friend said, you're making excuses where you really want to be at, don't you? Aren't you? Listen to yourself. Why would you make excuses? There's no sense. There's no reason to making excuses why you shouldn't be where you're at, except for the fear. And if you're letting fear keep you from that whole thing, the life that you want, the life changes you want, the person you want, all those things are wrapped up in that whole thing of that little fear holding you back. So what if your friends are not going to like you? So what if it's not going to fit in that little category of that makes them feel comfortable? Well, we're not here to make people feel comfortable. We're here to live our lives, individuality. We're here, God's guidance, basically let us come here to accomplish things for ourselves, to realize just who we are. We cannot discover who we are if we don't start listening to ourselves. Our friends and family, companionship, okay, guys? People to talk to discuss things, but not to make decisions for us. And I've seen so many people do the same thing with career. I have had so much problems with that, where it's like, you should be doing this, and you should be doing that. And I'm starting to realize that family and friends with relationships, family and friends with careers, all kinds of stuff, what you're hearing is their expectations that they never did. And when you start accomplishing your success in all parts of your life, it's making them jealous. Why does it make them jealous? Because they would rather go be jealous instead of going out there and trying to accomplish those things themselves. I mean, say you got a great relationship going on, and then somebody says something about age, and you start thinking, start getting confused. Should I do this or not? If that's the only thing you got, but you got everything else you want, you better look at it for what it is. It's just a freaking excuse that's, you're scared. You know where you want to be at, but you want to use that one aspect because you're scared of what you're going to lose instead of looking at all the things you're going to gain. Because in the process of finding the love of your life, in the process of finding the career, the thing you love, the idea of finding the niche that kicks in your spirituality, that enhances your life, the idea of finding the home that you want, and so on and so on, you're going to realize it was just a little fear that kept you from living the life that you saw yourself living. Because a lot of times people get frustrated with, you know, that situation of going, my God, it was my fear that kept me from going to those places. That fear made me break up with somebody I should never broke up with. That fear kept me from starting a business years ago where I could have been more financially stable than I am now working for stupid-ass companies who keep firing me every time they get a little niche. You see, take control of your own life. You're going to start dictating your own success, or are you going to keep letting everybody else do it for you? Because everybody else who's doing it for you, that's where the confusion comes in. Because it doesn't usually, the information doesn't go along with what they're saying. But see, the truth never will. The truth will always be what it is. So what are you going to do? You're going to take a challenge and step out there and do that? I guarantee you, if you, everything that crosses your path, if you embrace it, you will be more fulfilled than you have ever been fulfilled in your life. And that's the key, isn't it? That's the freaking key. I'm telling you guys, put it out there. Me personally, I'm getting tired of people going out there and are in situations or confusion. And the confusion can go away so easily if they would just sit there and look at the situation and be, I'm just letting it unfold just the way it's going to unfold. Because I guarantee it's definitely for your best good. It's in your best interest. And it's probably something you called in. You know, you're sitting there going, well, how come I got in a relationship with that person? Look at it for really what it was. What happened? You manifested that. Nobody else. And if especially in relationships, when two people come together, that was a manifestation that was on, you both were on the same page. We should look at the situation and take off the word X. Just look at the situation of somebody I was with. And leave it open. Because I think sometimes we want to put the X's on there just so we can keep that separate. We don't want to do that. I'm not saying we should, in the process of following our hearts, we're going to see the truth about those things too. But I'm just saying, with the situation of all these things unfolding, is the idea of following the truth. When we focus on careers, you're going to get a great career. Some people are so scared. I hear this all the time. Okay, there's a great person coming in my life. And you get this impressions, and you're getting a reading from somebody. It's a really positive thing. And then you want to throw something in there by like saying, will it be a lasting relationship? Will it be a long-term relationship? It's the ideal of putting it out there and saying, what are you focusing on right at this moment? What were you focusing on that moment? If you were focusing on a long-term relationship and it wasn't long-term, who really didn't allow it to become a long-term relationship, or career? Believe me, I've experienced all of those things myself, and I've seen the other side, so I know how it feels and those kind of things. So when you have shops and your things are going great, and that one person talks you into going somewhere else and the possibility is other things, and you get really mad, you just want to kick yourself. Or you're in a relationship with somebody, and you decided to walk away because your friends were saying you never know. And then I walked away from these situations and realized I did know. I was mad at my friends then. But the one thing about the situation, about making decisions and correcting decisions, the one thing I did find out, who I could really count on, who was really there, who were really, it's like when you see the truth in everything. So let's go and I'm going to take a breather here, get some, drink some fluids, but at the same time, we're still going to take some callers and see what's going down. And let's take our first, not the first caller, but we'll take another caller here. This is area code 347. Welcome to the show, and how are you? I guess 347 must have fell asleep. Oh, well. I'm still trying to figure out the switchboard because we have the question marks and that kind of thing, so I'm just wondering. Okay, 347 area code, you're on the air. Welcome. Okay, let's go back to Okay. How about 253 area code? You're on the. Oh, you're. Welcome to the show. How are you? And what's your name?
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
What's that?
I said, can you, excuse me, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Are you doing little readings today, tonight?
Yeah, like I said before, I was just trying to figure out if anybody had any questions they want to ask about what I was saying and talking about and that kind of thing would be great. But I was also, this switchboard, it's like we get these little question marks on it. And see, our old switchboards, what we used to get, those little hands pop up when you wanted to get on the air. Well, I got two question marks. Well, I went to 347, there's nobody there. Well, I think there's somebody there, but I'm just saying, no. But then I have two other callers in the queue who don't have anything next to their phone numbers. And I was just like, man, okay, I can figure this out because I want to tick off somebody because I've actually done it before a couple times. So I'm just listening. Okay, I'm sorry. It wasn't like it was a conspiracy. But I will say one thing. I was looking at your number, at your area code, 253. I was like looking it up in the phone, not the phone book. I'm looking it up in my angel book. I don't want to freak you out. Think about that. I have your number right here. I won't tell anybody what it is, but while I was looking up in the phone book, I just started doing this thing where I started noticing this other company I work for. People could give me they were giving me their area codes, and I was like, it was kind of amazing how those fit them in their situations and what they were going through at the time. So,
that really because I don't live at that area code. That's an old area.
Yeah,
to
see the point.
I know why I don't live in that area.
Right. But see, that's what I'm telling everybody. I'm trying to get everybody to quit being logical. Just because you don't live there doesn't mean that the three numbers doesn't affect. Because I'm seeing it right at this moment, and I'm looking up in the phone book. You want to say phone book? I keep looking at my angel book, and I'm like looking at the situation going, every time I've ever been gravitated to look at these numbers, they mean something. And they also give indications of things that are passing up. That's what I was saying before. I just have a tendency to go follow everything. And people need to get mad at me when I sit there and speak my mind, but it's one of those things that just things flowing, and it has nothing to do with being disrespectful to anybody, but I just felt the truth needs to be said. And with these situations, and people say, well, you know, don't think in the worldly way because you'll get yourself in trouble. The 253 that I looked up means your heartfelt prayers are the reason for the changes that you're making or considering. These changes are truly answers to your prayers. So welcome them. So, yes, we're going through many readings, and that's the meaning of the, I look at these things, it's kind of incredible. And you say, look, your heartfelt prayers are the reason for the changes that you're making or considering. These changes are truly answers to your prayers. So welcome them, because a lot of times we have a tendency not to do that. That's the idea of listening, to follow the heart of angels. God, Jesus, angels, all that energy is pure love. I guarantee you, it'll take you to a really, really good direction. So what's up with your life?
That is, like I said, that's my old area code. I moved away from that area some time ago. I just haven't switched my phone number over to my new number. So my actual area code is 707. It is not 253. So that is my actual area code. So.
Right. So we'll look at the situation of you making that change and making that difference in your life by changing that phone as soon as possible. So if you sort of look what I said about changes in your life, that's a good decision. But you said your air code now is 707?
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
707.
Wait. It might not be. Sorry, it's not. 702.
Okay, 702 means trust that you are exactly where you need to be, doing exactly what you need to do.
I think it's 702. I'm not sure because I don't have my new phone down here yet.
Well, like I tell people before, maybe something doesn't resonate with you now, but that doesn't mean it won't, because I've had a lot of people call me back and say, okay, I thought you were kind of crazy when you're doing that because it didn't make any sense. But then in the process of going through time, it did make sense. So what would you want? So you have a couple questions for us tonight?
I'm desperate for a job. I'm desperate for work. I'm desperate.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't happen this week, then some really unpleasant things are going to happen.
Okay. okay, well, maybe we should look at the situation, what you're trying to do. You're trying to manifest the money to keep yourself out of hot water. So therefore, maybe we should be looking at the situation of manifesting the money instead of worrying about trying to bring all those things in one avenue, which is a job. The angels were sitting there saying that you're saying that you're in this situation, this dire straits, and they're trying to say that when you put that kind of energy on things, you have a tendency to create blocks in your own life, and you're really desperate. You're really desperate for a job. So when that word desperate kind of sends out that kind of energy, which is not good, and that's what they were trying to. That's the one thing I got the most was the idea of focusing on what you want. What you want to do.
I have been doing that.
Mm-hmm. But the question you're talking about and the answers and the thing I keep picking up the most is the idea of we'll put it like this. The thing I keep picking up the most here, it keeps saying a week and a half.
Oh, that's way too late. Oh, no, that's way too late. If it's not this week, then it has to be this week. Because if it's not this, how can I put this? Let me put this. There's some other things going on with the situation as well. But if it's not, it has to be this week for many reasons.
Okay. Well, like I said before.
Week and a half
your
is
energy,
too late.
If it happens
in a week and a half, that sets some things in motion that are not good.
I'm just saying to you, everything is happening exactly the way it's supposed to happen, with hidden blessings that you'll soon understand. We cannot fit things into a time frame because of your fears. What we're trying to do is help you let go of those fears, so therefore you can see there's other ways to find the solutions to what's going on. Now, I've been in situations, too, where I was like, oh, shit, we're going to get kicked out. Well, we got kicked out, but in the process of getting kicked out, something else materialized was actually a better place for us to live. It was just us not willing to let go for something better for us in the process of doing that, not going down the path that we needed to go to. All these bad things started happening that brought us to that point. It just took a realization of actually losing everything to actually realize that in the process of losing everything, what did we really have? I just did a reading for a lady not too long ago, and this one random, and she's like, I just lost everything. I said, you did? Take a deep breath. She goes, okay. She took a deep breath, and she goes, that felt better. I said, yeah, but see, you didn't lose your life. So therefore, you have all the energy that you need to regain your life. It's just to realize that what brought you up to that point was the idea of probably, like I've said before, as we were talking about in the first part of the show, is everybody wants to feed into the fear part, not realizing the fear is going to do nothing but generate more fear. In the process of people, like you said before yourself, I'm focusing on what I want, but you haven't let go of the old energy of what could happen. In the process of focusing on that, you're now allowing the solution to come to you. Because one thing I was noticing when I was focusing on manifestation is the idea of looking at people and going, well, you're not going out getting a job. You know something? That's really funny because I got money coming in all the time. If I can manifest exactly what I need to take care of everything and keep everything on the whole thing, and I'm feeling good and comfortable and I'm actually doing what I'm doing, then why do I need to get a job? If people's insecurity is saying, well, that's how I live my life. Well, once you change that thought and stop making a living and start making a life for yourself, then you see things change. It's going to be different. It's probably going to be unorthodox to some people. But the situation is you're saying you're scared. And I'm just saying with the situation, that fear could block you from the opportunity, the situation, or anything that's coming to you to actually happen. And we're just, the angels are saying to you just to open up and let and go with the flow, because there's going to be solutions. Just because you don't have a job or something going on, it won't maybe take another week and a half, doesn't mean the solutions are still not going to come to you to take care of those situations where all your bills are going to be taken care of and you're going to meet those obligations.
Where am I going to be living in a week? Where will I be living in a week? If it's a week and a half until that job comes through, I'm just sort of following the thread here. If it's a week and a half until the job comes through, where will I be living in a week?
Mm-hmm.
Where? No, that's really it. I'm asking that. If that job doesn't come through for a week and a half, where will I be in a week living? Should I move into my car? Should I move into my car then? Should I plan on moving into my car?
Well, I'd love to answer the question for you if you give me a chance.
Go ahead, please.
But you've already gone down that road of all the possibilities, and you're going in the wrong direction. Because my angels keep saying to me over and over again, you're not going anywhere. You'll be right where you're at. But you have to open up the possibilities. What is it? Everything's possible. That's what you got to say. Everything's possible.
What do you mean I'm
but
not
you're,
going
but
anywhere?
What
does that mean I'm not going anywhere?
I'm sorry, dear. All I can do is give you the message that says you're not going
moving.
Anywhere.
I am moving.
Okay,
oh,
then.
Yeah, I'm moving. I am moving. No, I am moving. That decision is already made.
Okay, I guess the thing I keep thinking of the most is the idea of going with the flow. When you go with the flow, it doesn't hurt to actually look over decisions that have already been made and to change them accordingly. I'm just saying to you, that you asked the question, that was the answer. It's the ideal.
I am moving. I am moving. They're not. If the answer is I'm not going anywhere, well, then that's not the answer because I am moving. I don't know where I'm moving to, but it is happening.
Mm-hmm.
That is
okay.
A done deal. No alternatives.
Okay.
So if the angels are saying you're not going anywhere, then that's not accurate information.
No, it's accurate. It's just the idea you
no,
made a decision.
No, it's not. I told you. I'm moving.
And you have no intentions of changing that decision, so you're being stubborn. So therefore, the angels
already,
can be correct.
It was
but you're not
already,
opening it to see.
It was already made for me.
I understand where you're coming from, sweetie, but I've been in a situation like you, too. I thought the same thing, and then the next week, something happened that changed the course of the future. So I just
don't understand.
But it
don't
happened.
Understand.
Yeah. I'm just saying, you make your decision. You've already made a decision. You have no intention of changing. So therefore, you're looking for guidance and you're looking for a change, but you can't make that change unless you're willing to do it. So I'm just saying to you, that's all I can tell you. I can just give you the information. That's what's flowing through me. It's what's telling me. If you let go and go with the flow, things will change. But and those changes are not being bad or I just felt like things would actually get better. But like I said before, if you're going to make a decision and you're going to stick to it, then you probably will be moving next week. I'm just saying, when you ask the questions, the angel said this, and I don't think that the idea of looking at situations of beings who have no bodies, who have no restrictions, I would rather listen to them. So I have to stick, and I have to say, that's what I see, that's what I feel. I understand you're disagreeing with the whole thing, but like I said before, you have the right to do that, and I respect
it
you all.
It is not a disagreement. It is not a disagreement. I'm telling you the fact. The fact is.
I understand that, sweetie, but see, these are the facts as well. Sweetie, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just saying to you, the angels are right on the money. It's just the idea if you're going to make a decision to open up to the possibilities that you might want to change that thought. You might change that decision. So therefore, you have no intentions of doing the angel said, good luck. They're trying to portray a different path for you. That would be a whole lot easier for you. But you feel like you need to do this and you need to work your ass off. And they're saying things could be so easier for you if you would just listen. But you have your mind made up because of the world is portraying, as basically the world's giving you these things, and you feel like you need to go along with the way the world says. So therefore, you do what you need to do. We're just saying this is what we see. There are always alternative paths. Nothing's written in stone. So I'm just saying to you, seriously, good luck. And love to still hear from you to see what happens next week because I just feel like there's some things that are coming that might change all that. So, therefore, I'd love to hear from you, okay? All righty? All right?
Yes.
Thank you. You have a great night.
You too.
I don't know. Sometimes I look at situations and try to portray them and look at things and that kind of stuff, and it just kind of like drives me crazy when we put ourselves in situations where we want to listen to guidance, and then when it doesn't go along with what we conceive as reality, we don't realize that the angels are looking past that to see the truth of how things could really be to the point of, she's saying she's freaking out. If something doesn't happen, you know, she's putting that energy out there. Like, something's got to happen right now, man, because if it don't happen right now, all these things are going to fall away. And I feel like when the process of looking at the situation, what's really falling away is the past that she's still clinging to. So let's take a look at the situation, and that was interesting. So let's go into another caller, and because we got 15 minutes left in the show, but I'm telling everybody, stay in the queue. We will get to you, all right? I haven't checked with the chat room because we've had some interesting readings and information, that kind of stuff. So we're going to check with the chat room real quick, and I'm looking at the situation. If you already know the answer and you're saying it is a fact and has been said already, why did you even ask in the first place? So weird and rude. Anyway, like I said before, anybody in here have a no offense, but stop and drop. But please drop the call, Journeyman. Well, we still had to play the thing out. And like I said before, I go with my guidance and what I need to do. And I just didn't feel like we needed to drop the call at the moment. But I did think we needed to sit there and say that I couldn't put the time frame and everything in her time frame, okay? We had to put it where it was at. And we, I guess it's like, just put the situation, go, this is the truth. There was an alternative path for her, and she just refused to take it. The stubbornness comes in there. And you look at people, I've seen the same thing with relationships too, where people know, and they just want to sit there and insult the person, and they want to sit there and make him out to be something he's not, or she's not. And I've seen that too on both sides of the thing, where it's like, that girl's this, and it was some guy who refused to see the woman for who she was because it was just something he couldn't conceive. You know, and same thing with London. Here's a guy, man. You know, I was so freaking happy with him, or I was so happy with him, you know, kind of thing. And then they just walk away from it because it's just almost like people around them start saying, it can't be real. It just can't conceive in their minds. And all of a sudden they have a tendency that if we're not following the truth and following our hearts, the next thing you know, they get pulled into what, as I call it, they get pulled into this other perception, because sometimes I swear people are so scared they don't realize with friends and family, they're never going to go anywhere if they're true and real. Okay? And I said before, I've learned from my experiences too, that when I started following the hearts, I started seeing people for exactly who they was. It makes a big difference, I'm telling you. Let's go into our next caller. I want to go down here. And I want to go to, I think it's a Skype caller, if I'm not mistaken. It's 111111, which is kind of incredible if you look at the ideal manifestation numbers, I'm telling you. Manifestation numbers are incredible because 111111, that is a strong manifestation number where you just focus because the energy at that moment is wide open. A really strong vortex is opening up, and the angels are telling you that. To keep your thoughts positive and focused on what you want, the outcome, and all the positive things that go along with it. Okay, if you're focusing on all those negative things, you're going to get them quick too. Or some people are focusing on those things, and it's just reaffirming and just re-manifesting it too as well. So, Erica, as I said, it's a Skype call. You're on the air. Welcome to the show. Well, I can tell you, 111. Yes, hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good. How can I help you tonight? What's your name?
It's William.
William?
Yes. Did you make it I just want to know if you made it to Manitou Springs.
Manitou Springs?
That's where you're
Yes, I'm trying to make it to Manitou Springs. It's just that it's just one of those things that I'm opening my mind up a little bit more on the whole thing about where I'm going to go, what is in my best interest, and that kind of thing. So I feel in some sense of worry we're still focusing on Manitou Springs. That's why I would love to go to Manitou Springs and reopen the shop that I had there and the whole bit and just the whole thing of just experiencing it, at least for the summer.
How do you explain that with the manifestation? I mean, if you really wanted that, why aren't you there?
That's what I'm saying. I'm opening up to the possibilities. Why am I not there? Because it might be the ideal of stepping back and looking at the situation because of some things that happened this summer that it might be different where my location of where I'm going to be at has changed. I'm opening up to that possibility. So, okay, I'm following the heart. And I'm sitting there going, people have asked me about Manitou Springs. I'm sitting there going, yeah, I need to go in there and change that to the point of just looking for a way to, unless it's an idea of opening up to the possibility, say, okay, angels, where am I going to go? Because that seems to be up in the air right now, where it's like things are still playing out and things are still falling into place for us to even determine. It's just that Manitou Springs was on there. And I've been so freaking busy lately where I've been changing a lot of things. I just changed the profile of my company, the other company I work for, Random. And I've just been doing all kinds of stuff, man. But when I first put Manitou Springs on there, it was very clear at that time. And I felt like a lot of things were falling into place. But then in the process of making decisions and going in different directions, it doesn't seem so clear at this moment. I feel like it's going to happen. But there's other things that need to be addressed at this moment.
Yeah, that's an interesting point because, like, the woman was on just now. It sounds like she's in a state of total panic, and you know, fear comes from those that don't believe.
Right.
And she sounds like,
if this doesn't happen.
And, you know what? Whatever's supposed to happen is going to happen.
Exactly. That's what I always say. Just relax and let go and stop worrying because it's going to happen the way it's going to happen. So it'll happen a whole lot quicker if you just let go.
You're right about that. If you just live in the moment and just go with the flow, then that's the easiest path, and it's going to be the right path.
Well, that's the thing. I was telling the lady, she goes, what does it mean to live in the moment? I said, you see what's happening right this moment between me and you? It's the only thing that exists. It's the only thing that exists at this moment, right here. It's just me and you. And she's like, oh. I said, if you can learn to live that. Because like I'm saying before, I said, that's what I was trying to tell you, lady. I have been in her position before. And I've always been taught that when you're in those kind of situations and it's come to that point, that's the point you really need to let go. You just need to just let it play itself out and see what's going to happen instead of saying, well, no. And I've been in a situation like that, and I know I let it go too long, and it came to that point. But as soon as, it was just almost like I had to learn that, and I let it go at that moment. And the next thing I know, my landlord came to me, and I also got my tax check early. So things fell into place that I didn't see happening, but they happened, and they changed the outcome of that situation where I didn't move. But everybody's like,
So all that stress and panic was worthless.
It's wasted energy.
Yes.
Because, I mean, like I said before, she's asking for an answer to her question. She's asking for guidance. And then and then all of a sudden she freaks out because it didn't fall in her time frame. And I said, well, the angels are trying to get you to open up the possibilities because I know for a fact with my angels and guides and stuff, every time I've ever listened to them, and every time I listen to them, it always takes me someplace better. It's just the idea of learning how to live and go with the flow to experience those things, to actually look back on it later and say, that was better for me. But she's not willing to do that right now. She's letting this worldly thing kick in. The world says this and this. And I have been in so many situations. When I lived in Manitou Springs, for example, when I lived there the first time, when I got my first apartment, everybody says you got to have money in a deposit to get an apartment. And I got one before I had the money.
Right.
Now, the money came later, but an opportunity came for those things to happen, which actually was set into place about 4 months before that. And I didn't really see the pattern until after I'd already lived it. I look back and go, oh, wow. I stayed at the hotel, which I found out later on that the hotel, the guy that managed the apartment place I was living in, his wife worked at the hotel. I found out the husband worked at this apartment place. And it all kind of like, it was like a chain reaction. It was like just chain link of all these little things that fell into place just because I decided to let go and just follow and just go with the flow. And these things fell into place very nicely.
That's right.
I didn't become rich, but I was really happy.
I just called in to say you have a great show. I listened to you, and more people need to just, you know, let things go. Let things flow in the direction that God wants it to flow, and don't insist on what you want, because that's not what you're going to get.
Right. No, that's true. When you let go, and everything's going to happen. Because, you know, like I said before, it's like one of those things that we'd all look at everything that never really has happened in our lives, we had to let go or something, or we wouldn't have flowed to this point in our lives.
I think the confusion comes from, a lot of confusion comes from the secret stuff. I mean, you can't just manifest what you want. It's in the hands of God, and whatever it's going to be is going to be. So let it open up to whatever he wants, and then go with the flow, and you'll be happy with the results.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but I was looking at secret. It was like looking at little bits and pieces of certain people. They were saying things, and it's just like people talk about tarot cards are just giving you bits and pieces, and the rest of it's basically up to you to live it and put it into place, like a little puzzle. And the one person I like on The Secret is Jack Canfield. He talks about manifesting $100,000 a year. And what he puts out there and says to people, he's like, don't freak out because, like he said, he only made $93,000, but he went from $8,000 to $93,000. He didn't get his $100,000. But see, the point was, you can't sit there and say that things didn't change in his life by him changing his thinking. And he started thinking about increasing his income and bringing more abundance and actually just the ideal things that he already had in play to actually get what he wanted out of those things until he realized he wasn't really putting the energy into them as much as he thought. And then things changed when he started focusing on them, on the ideal of success, instead of looking like he had a book in the corner going, you think that thing will ever sell? That's a negative thought. Until he actually looked at the situation of focusing on what he was trying to acquire, you know, attain. Like I've always told people, relationships. You're focusing on all these aspects of relationship, but what you're really focusing on is to be loved. So why are we not focusing on that part? I just want to be loved by somebody. Well, open it up to the possibilities of getting that kind of love. But I just want you to make sure that you're also putting it out there, too, as well, because you can. Because, you know, the aspect of law of attraction means you better be it, too, or it just ain't going to happen. And like I've told people, too, in the process of manifesting something, if it doesn't happen, then look at it, because maybe the reason it's not happening is because there's something better for you, and maybe you need to open it up. And you've kind of like shut the doors to all the possibilities. And I put on the end of it where it says, this or something better is now manifesting for me in totally satisfying and harmonious ways for the highest good of everyone concerned. So it's not just me. And I think a lot of people, you know, she's there thinking about the situation, but I'd be focusing on blessings for everybody because there's all these people that are involved just in her situation that have all the things she's touching. And also the same thing, too, with her focusing on the energy and stuff is just doing the same things all the other people she's dealing with, but they're probably all feeding into the fear, too. You know, landlords breathing down your back, and this is doing this, and the bills and that kind of stuff, and people getting nasty and stuff. Because I tell people all the time, I have been in situations where I wrote in my journal. Everything in my journal happened just like I wrote it in my journal. But there was also certain things that I was focusing on. And the one thing that I did, I really focused on the most, I looked back on it and said, okay, what did I do? What was the common denominator? I let go. I just let it go. And as soon as I let that sucker go, it was almost like dominoes. Things just started falling into place.
Right.
It's not the easiest thing in the world to do, but like I said before, if you don't get a certain manifestation, you also have to look at that situation and say it was never meant to happen. But it isn't. But I also feel like those things, when they happen like that, it's also sending us into a different direction. There's a sign there, too. So okay, this is not happening, but rethink it.
Well,
that's
what I'm saying. I think the secret's misleading because it makes you believe that anything you want, you can manifest, but that's not the truth. If it's not in line with what God wants for you, you're not going to get it no matter how much you want it.
Right. I'm just saying to everybody else, when you put it out there and it doesn't happen, you're right. Because I've had things, too, that a certain relationship didn't happen, and I was kind of baffled because the first time I did that, it did happen. But the second time it happened, it didn't happen. And it was just one of those things that later on I did focus, manifested another connection with her to actually see why, and started realizing she was still living in the past, and I had moved on. There's a lot of realizations on here. I just want to thank everybody for being here and all the people who called in, but we're going to still keep taking calls until we can because we can actually stay on for another hour. So if you got questions you want answered, I have no problem answering everybody's questions in the queue, okay? So you all have a great night, and thank you all for being here, and may God and the angels bless you every minute of the day, and give love where love is giving, and let's get back to the calls and get these callers in here and get the questions all answered out, okay? Let's see here. I'm just freaking out, man, I swear. Let's see. Okay, we go to 917. Oh, we tried to go to 917. Okay, we're going to 917 area code. Welcome to the show, and how are you? What's your name?
Hello, Donnie.
Oh, somebody knows me.
Hey, it's Nicole. I'm just, hello, it's a really good show tonight. I'm just listening.
Okay, no problem. No problem at all. I can put you back on listen mode and we can talk later.
All
I just
right,
wasn't
cool.
sure because this Q thing is just, there's no hands to go up, you know, so I don't know. Anyway.
There's nobody has hands up. Everybody's just listening tonight?
No, that's what I'm saying. There is no hands. I don't, there's, the only thing I have on this, on mine is I have question marks.
Huh.
And I guess question marks could be something, I guess. But that's all
maybe.
I see. And then little, she clicked on people who are, who don't have question marks and they still want to get on the air too. So I was like, I don't know.
Hmm.
But like I said before, we can talk later and I'll get these guys in here real quick because I've actually been able to stay on for an extra hour recording.
Okay, cool.
So you say you want to keep in and still listen, okay?
Yes, I would like, yes, please let me still listen.
Okay, no problem. Thank you for calling
in.
All right, let's go into some other people here. All right, let's see. All right, let's go to area code 347. Welcome to the show. How are you and what's your name? Okay. Area code 347, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. And how are you and what's your name? Okay. Let's go into... I think this is a Skype call, BNNA Body High.
Yes, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, and you?
I'm tired, but besides that, I'm doing great.
Well, I have a question. It's more like an insight. I need some help.
Right.
I've been dating this guy. We separated, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've been wanting some contact or trying to get some contact, but he just writes when he wants to and just doesn't write when he doesn't. So there's not been much contact or I haven't seen him in a while. And
mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering, like, will I ever hear from him? Is he going to contact me? In what,
mm-hmm.
like, what am I doing? I just am, like, so upset that I'm still thinking about this guy, you know?
Okay.
And I'm a little bit embarrassed about it, too, to be honest. I'm so, like, I wish
a
I could.
A little what?
I said I'm a little embarrassed. Like, I wish I could just, like, snap out of it, you know? I wish things would be easier for me.
Yeah, but, you know, like I was talking to the last lady, was something that's like, the idea of snapping out of it is the idea of listening to what you're saying, which is basically you walk up out of it and just think outside the box and start looking at it in a different angle, a different perception, and say, okay, When you deal with this person, you're talking about this guy, I get the impression, yes, you're going to hear from him. The idea of communication and that kind of stuff, definitely feel that very strongly. But what I'm saying, but you're also wondering, is there something that you've done or you can do or that magic word that will change everything?
Right.
And the thing I get is there's nothing you can do. Only thing you can do is keep yourself open for the communication. I feel like you have a... Get irritating. Sometimes you can get really mad because of the frustration of some of the things he said. I also get some things that he's also said hurtful to you or about you. I get those,
uh-huh.
but I also want you to understand he's trying to make you out to be a person that he wouldn't want to be with because everybody else does the same thing. So therefore, it's like I can't. Really do what I want to do because that's how you're taught in life. I have to compromise. I have to sacrifice and whatever. Anyway, I got lost in that for a minute. I'm just saying, when you get into a situation where a person's saying things to you and they're just talking in circles and they won't listen to you, and sometimes we want to go back and look at them when we start seeing things within the conversation that we do know they still love us and they still care about us. And that even makes us even more mad because what we want. We want someone to love us unconditionally, and we feel at that moment this is a person to do that. And why are they not? Why are they treating me like the way they are? Why are they distant from me? Well,
yeah.
what I'm getting is the ideal stop beating yourself up. Live your life. do what you want to do. Focus on your goals, your desires, your wants. In the process of doing that, if he's a part of that, he will be a part of that. But it's not until you let go and start focusing on what you are here to accomplish, are those things going to fall into place, because it's a true test to see if he's really truly the one. Is to let go and do the whole thing. I just answered my own question. Anyway, things are a little late. But I know exactly what to do now. Thank you. I appreciate that call. And it's almost like a reading for myself. But I'm just saying, you really need to do that, okay? When you do that, I guarantee you that the things that you've been focusing on, the wants, needs, and desires, will definitely happen. It's just the ideal, you know. Don't try to determine that ahead of time with the universe and everything else falling in place, because I get the impression it's already been preordained and predetermined anyway. It's just the ideal. A lot of things need to still fall into place for it can actually happen, okay? And the process of letting it go doesn't mean you're giving up on that. What you're doing is, in the process of letting go, you continue to say, oh, I'm just going to go down the river of life. You're putting yourself in that. I'm telling you right now, what I've said into the first part of the show, I'm talking about putting yourself in the stream of love. It changes everything with you, your perception of life itself. You just start seeing things. I mean, for example, when I found the house that I was looking for, okay?
Yes.
People told me that it was out of my range. I didn't think that. So I started working. I just started listening. So, okay, my angels and guys always lead me to do certain things and focus and do this and this and this. And when I was doing that, like, 100% of the time, my girlfriend at the time used to sit and say, she goes, it's amazing being around you. I was like, why? She goes, all these miracles happen. All these things happen all the time, every freaking day.
Mm-hmm.
We'll sit there and focus on a house that we saw. We just wanted to go into it because we had a paranormal group and we like ghosts and spirits. And we saw this one house we just wanted to really check out. But we were looking for, a way in. I said, well, too bad the house wasn't for sale. We just take a look at it and pretend we're sales, like we want to buy a house or something. And we could go in the house and check it out. And the next thing you know, the next week, the house came up. And then the house we had in Florida, I told her, I said, we're going to live in a trailer. For one thing, I don't think God likes tornadoes. I don't think he likes trailers because they always get sucked by freaking tornadoes. And I'm not exactly a small person, okay? I work out. I'm constantly working on shoulders and that kind of stuff. So I'm not a person that I used to get irritated walking down the hallway of a freaking trailer because I always bang my arms and shoulders off those freaking knobs that you kind of rotate the windows out with. And I said, from that point on, I'll never live in a trailer again. So therefore, in the process of going through my spiritual stuff, I said, well, stop focusing on trailers that you don't want to live in and start focusing on things that you want. And we just had to be driving down the road when we were in Florida. We were in St. Petersburg, and we were driving, looking for a haunted house. We were very curious about because we heard that this house, the ghost in the house, was actually giving decorating tips to the person who lived there. So we wanted to check that out. That was interesting to us. And the process, just living our lives and doing what we love to do. And we were looking at a house, and 2 days before that, I had sister and told her. I said, "She goes, well, I started working a job for 2 days. I just started my business again, so everything was still in the works for like a couple of days." I said, "If I could just find one person who would just take our money and give us about a month to get on our feet, that's all we need." So we had $2,500. So 2 days later, we're just driving down this road looking for this house, and just having to pass this house, which was a 4-bedroom, 2-bathroom house. Had a for rent sign in the front, and I just happened to catch this thing out of the corner of my freaking eye. And I think the reason I did that was just like, I think it was just guidance on the whole thing. We stopped because it was actually getting dark. For me to actually see that was kind of, that was like, at that time, I thought it would have been an impossibility, but I saw it, you know. And then we called the guy up. Talked to his father, which was really hard to do because his father didn't speak New English. He was from Ukraine, so we had to talk to a translator. But we're sitting there talking to the guy, and we went over certain things. And next thing I know, the guy went out to the front yard. He pulled the freaking sign out of the yard and threw it in the garage. And we had, realistically, neither one of us had any job. Didn't have a job. Didn't have any references. Didn't have nothing. We just walked in here and said, "Hey, guy, this is the way it is. We got $2,500. We want this house. This is what we do. This is what we're doing. We only need like a month and a half to get on our feet. We're good to go. We got your money for you." and that was okay with him. So, see, I found that one person would just take our money and be okay with it. And plus, we didn't even pay what we were supposed to pay on the whole thing. My guidance came to me and said, it's going to be $2,300 to move in this place. And my guidance told me to bring $1,850. I don't know why at the time. They said, I told my girlfriend at the time, I said, just get $1,850 out of the bank. I said, I don't know why, but I'm going with it, just like I do everything else. And she said, okay, no problem. We get there, and we start talking to the guy, and I started talking about I wanted to paint the front. My girlfriend wanted to redo the kitchen floor. We started talking about these things, and his son came in and said, my dad says you still owe him like $300, but he said, if you're going to do all the work, you don't owe him nothing. So all these things just happened because why? Well, I just decided to throw the oars away and just float down the river and see what was going to happen. And every time I do that, it doesn't get fearful anymore. Because everything's going to happen for my best interest, what's good for me, every time. And that's the whole thing. I was telling everybody before, I was so passionate about the whole thing, about following your heart. Love will always tell you the truth. So that's what I'm saying with the situation with you, too, as well. I'm sorry if I went a long way around, but I don't answer questions, it's just a simple answer, okay? It's one of those situations, this is a real important thing to you. So it takes more than just a yes or no, or will he call me? It's a really deep situation with you, and I don't want you to give up on it. I just want you to really focus on what you really want. And process of being with this person, what would that take? What should you look at yourself? Ask yourself, am I really ready? Do I really, you know, even to the point of asking yourself, do I really want this? Because I just feel like it's really going to work out just the way you want it to. It's just the idea of making sure that's exactly what you want and then proceed forward. There's a couple questions here and there and that kind of stuff. I'm just saying, answer the question if you have the time. Because seriously, I've had the same problem where you have to talk to somebody and they get angry with you. They say mean things to you. They try to betray you with something that you're not. It's just the ideal to understand, be caring and loving. Because you're saying, I love this person unconditionally. I want to love this person even more. I love this person deeply. So look past what they're doing. Look past the illusion. These are people that are just basically making decisions because of their fears. So therefore, they've had people say things to them in some shape or form, or even their own fears, are making them not look at us or who we really are, so they're making it up as they go along. And we're hoping, which I feel very strongly, even in both parts of the situation, once we let go, they will see us for who we really are, and they will understand why they're being gravitated toward us, because that's where they're supposed to be. So, do you have any other questions?
No, it's just really hurtful. I'm just in a little bit of a pain, so.
I'm just saying, sweetie, the hardest thing about these things is when you have that hurt or that pain, you have to look within yourself and ask yourself, there's a truth being revealed to you because of that hurt and that pain. And once you go to the root of that whole thing and you find it and realize what it is, you just let it go, and I guarantee you the pain will go with it. Okay?
Yeah, that's true. I've already experienced it. It's just when he doesn't respond to me,
mm-hmm.
instead of reacting as a form, he doesn't want me or he's rejecting of me, instead of thinking all that crappy things, I'm just like,
mm-hmm.
you know, basically I just mm-hmm. asked him something. It wasn't a personal thing, so I don't need to get offended if he doesn't respond to it. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's a point in letting go, and I'm letting go. I'm not writing him every week. You know, it's been like 3 weeks before
mm-hmm.
I wrote to him. But he's been so much on my mind for the last 2 days. Like, it's just been, like,
mm-hmm.
in there. And I'm like, why is it so strong right now, you know? It's just
mm-hmm.
hurtful. It's, like, hurting my mind to be so. And I'm
Welcome
trying.
Right. No. I'm just saying, I understand. Okay. I understand where you're coming from. I'm just saying with the situation, one thing you need to do is that's the problem. I guess that's what we're focusing on and topping on is the idea when you let go and know it's like focusing on the outcome. That's where you want to be. That's who you want to be with. But all this stuff going on in between is the idea of helping you to deal with yourself and understand that if you're letting these things hurt you, it's because of a person who's acting out. Why is it still hurting you? Why are these things seem? And the idea of thinking someone's rejecting you.
Yeah.
Those are insecurities of your own that you need to deal with. It's like the only reason I put it out there, too, because right now I have a girl that I'm deeply in love with. I mean, it's like one of those things, that's something I've never had in my whole freaking life, okay?
Yeah.
So see, in the process of realizing that, I can make decisions, and like I said, as I've said to her a couple times, just follow your heart, and that's when she really gets mad at me.
Right.
But when you follow your heart, those my insecurities and stuff, the idea of looking at someone and say, you changed my life, and they go, how does that? Because I realize some things about myself, that I don't have to let people hurt me. It's not important. Society says that we have to, when things like this happen, or these things like this, a lot of times the insecurity has been brought on by society saying, that's the norm. And because if you don't feel something, there's something wrong with you. And I've gotten to the point where, you're right, if you don't feel something, there's wrong with you. But what I get is when I focus and see and interact with her and communicate with her, is I see a person just
yeah.
like me who was also going through insecurities in the process of us being together and the reflections back and forth, I found out a whole lot about myself. And I think in the situation, too, she has, too. It's just I've dealt with them, and she's still dealing with them.
Yep. No, I'm thinking, like, yeah, I'm learning a lot about myself in this process. Actually, it's really great, but, you know, I just...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
No, I'm just saying, in the process of finding out that you're a great person too,
yeah.
that you've also realized the guy that you're talking about, he's a great person too. It's just that you realized it, and he's still in the realization part. He's also got influences that are still kind of tapping on the insecurities. And I told a friend of mine one time, I said, this way it is. I only maybe have 5 or 6 friends. I don't need to have a freaking choir.
No.
I got. It's
exactly.
The people that the friends I do have are the ones who are on the same mutual understanding that realize that, oh, he's in a relationship. They don't find it a threat. They find it as, oh, it's what he, well, that's his objective. Oh, think, you know, he's in a relationship. Maybe I don't approve of her. Maybe I don't like some of the things she's done, but it works for them. And they have that respect so that you make your decisions for yourself. And they don't pressure you into, like, oh, you didn't take my advice, I'm mad at you, or
yeah.
being mad at them. That is manipulation in the biggest sense, okay? When you can, but what I do is, I'm very plain spoken, I tell people flat out, this is how I feel, these are my feelings, this is what's going on. If you don't like it, too bad, but guarantee you one thing, you'll never be in the dark. You'll know exactly how I feel, that's how I feel. So therefore, if you don't like it, maybe you should go home and realize maybe you don't like it because you need to deal with your own insecurities. And those kind of things. But see, he's not a person that's strong. He gets influenced very easily by certain things. But I feel like when I look at the situation of the person you're talking about, I feel like there's a great strength there. And it's just the idea of a person tapping into it and realizing that he doesn't have to conform to society. All he has to do is be true to himself.
Yeah. Well, I don't know where he's at right now. I haven't spoken to him in a while. I'm just texting him, and I don't know what he's doing or how he's doing, I don't know, but, you know.
What's one of the situations? Don't be scared to take it to the step either on the phone or in person when you want to talk. Because the texting thing to me is just something that's just a waste of energy.
Yeah.
It gives people too much too much space to hide, to run away. You know, face-to-face is one of those things that people are realizing exactly who you are and where they really want to be at.
Yeah, that's
sometimes
a good point.
Situations
that's
it's hard
a good point.
To do,
it's his birthday on November 10th. I'll give him a call then. I don't think I really feel like calling him right now either. That's like scary.
Okay.
But I think
right. No, that's a good thing. Because I tell people, I do this when people say, well, should I call or should I do this? And I say, as long as you're calling because you honestly want to talk to that person and you want to interact and you're really genuinely concerned of how they are, their well-being, and just want to really talk. But if you call them because you're fearful, if you don't, you're already calling a person who's already tapping into his fears, and you're just adding to the mix.
Exactly, and it's not going to work. It's going to be very uncomfortable. So it's his
mm-hmm.
birthday in a couple of weeks. I'll give him a call. It's a good excuse, and I'll just say hi, you know? And that's it. I mean, that's all I can do.
Yeah, I'm just saying with the situation, the one thing you need to do that you can, only thing you can do to continue working on yourself, focusing, and you have your own thing that you really need to put a lot of energy into.
Yeah, I have a lot of yes, I have that.
I keep getting this. I also get a connection with a book.
With a what?
A book.
And that's in the future. First, I have to like find some other thing, and then I will do the book.
I understand what you're saying, sweetie. But I'm just saying when I pick up on it, one thing I heard from my angels was tell her to quit saying it's in the future.
Sorry?
In the works.
How?
Hey, my angels say quit saying it's in the future, because if you do, that's where it's going to remain.
Yeah.
They want you to sit there. Mm-hmm. They want you to say it's in the works.
It's in the works. My book is in the works. I'm already writing it. I'm already writing.
There you go.
I just need to find like maybe some support around it, you know, somebody that can like assist me during the process. That would be great, and I can pay that person. So
why don't you do this? Why don't you take on some free assistance and ask your angels to help you lead you in the right direction to find those opportunities to accomplish it too. Even the person you're talking about or working with and that kind of stuff too, but I guarantee you'll get some good results, okay?
Sorry, you guarantee me what?
I guarantee if you work with your angels, you'll also have the opportunities come to you to get this book going a whole lot quicker than you think. And plus the person you're talking about helping you write it, you also find it too. Like, that's why I said I guarantee if you work with your angels, you'll find those quicker than you think, and then you'll understand why they keep saying it's not in the future.
Right. No, I think you're very sweet to guide me today. It was very helpful. I really needed to talk about it. I'm in pain, but you're right. Texting is not the way to go. That's a good thing to really look at also, you know, why I do that when I like someone. Why texting, you know?
Yeah, I want to take relationships to a higher point and say, let's go back to the way it used to be before we were cell phones.
Exactly. Thank you so much.
But they still happen.
Yeah.
They happen. We were not constantly thinking we had to communicate. Communication has nothing to do with quantity. It has to do with quality. When you're sitting there for only 5 or 10 minutes and you can sit there and talk to somebody, and in that 10 minutes you get across exactly how you feel, we need 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying the idea of talking on the phone for 2 or 3 hours, because I'm actually been guilty. I had a friend of mine who used to live in Finland, and she lived in Canada for a while. We used to talk on the phone. Every time she would call me, or I would call her, I guarantee it was always a 6-hour conversation.
Yeah.
So I'm saying that, but see, at the phone, that's energy. The texting, you know, like the girlfriend I had, she said it right, because in the process of texting, she said some things to me that I misinterpreted.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, and I apologized to that thing up and down, saying, okay, I thought it was this, and this. And she's like, no, it was, this is what I was saying. And she's, I'm sorry sometimes, you know, certain things she writes and that kind of stuff. And the one point, what happened that moment was I really tuned into her. And she did have certain ailments and stuff that with her writing, seeing things and how she perceives and that kind of stuff with her learning ability. But in the process of being with somebody and tapping into that, you can get past those restrictions and really still be able to communicate with that person even more deeper, because you're on the same page. You're communicating through your heart, because you care about that person so much that you definitely want to make sure that you understand what she's trying to say.
Yeah.
And that's the point you keep saying about, okay, you love somebody. How do you love somebody? I love somebody so much that I always want them to help, always understand what I'm saying as much as I want to understand what they're saying too. So there are no misunderstandings. So when you start focusing on those things, the first person you need to focus with is yourself to make sure that's the way it is. And sometimes it can be scary for the people to go, wow, someone actually loves me that much. But, you know, they'll get there too. And it's just the ideal, being understanding and caring and say, okay, if I love this person, then I have to stand back and look at them and say, okay, they are doing some mean things. But are they really mean things, or is it just a person trying to deal with something, and the only way they can perceive to do it? And their influences and that kind of stuff, of course we see it differently. But we have different influences. We have different surroundings than they do. It's just the ideal that one day they will both be the same surroundings. They will both be, we will both be on the same page. We'll both be together, and things will be different. And that's the thing we need to focus on, not what's getting there. It's a great journey. But also the same thing, if you're not with somebody at that moment, then the journey is just your journey. Your journey together hasn't come back yet, but it will. And you'll be, this person will definitely be sharing your journey with you. It's just that we have to sit here and understand right now our journey is by ourselves. And we need to look at some things. We need to work on some things or whatever it is. And it could be the point changing one of those things that actually knocks down that one block that brings us in connection again, and an opportunity happens and we get to cross paths and we get to work things out.
Yeah.
But we have to do the work.
Yeah, you never know what lies in the future. It's just the moment. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Because we're going to try to get some callers because we have like 33 minutes left in the recording thing and then they cut us off. So, but really,
yes.
I really thank you for the call, okay?
Thank you.
Please give us a call back and give me a call and get a reading with me if you can. But also give us a call back and tell us an update about how it's going with your life, okay?
Thank you. Okay.
You're welcome. You have a fantastic night.
You too, man. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Let's go on to area code 510. Welcome to the show, and how are you tonight?
I'm good, and you?
I'm getting better.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so how can we help you tonight?
Well, I have two questions. One, I've been having like a reoccurring health issue. I have a hypothyroid.
Mm-hmm.
And recently it's come, like it was in remission for like 2 years. And recently it's come back and it's coming back aggressively. And I'm kind of like in the dark on what to do. Because I don't want to get radiation treatment. I'd like to do something natural. But I don't want to deal with this for the rest of my life. I'm getting very, like, annoyed, frustrated.
So, did you say you had to do some, they were talking about doing radiation treatments for your thyroid?
Yeah.
Let me think about this. You know, the one thing I focus on the most here is an alternative, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
You got a lot of pictures, a lot of, almost like, it's almost like changing a lot of activity, too.
Changing a lot of what?
Activity.
Okay.
So looking at the situation of exercise and that kind of stuff, doing it in a different way of what most people think is just a simple walk.
Okay.
The reason I say that because I was getting this thing in my head where I saw this guy before. He was, he had been diagnosed with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
The doctors had given him like 6 months to live, so he started, he changed his diet. He started eating nothing but everything was just healthy, healthy, healthy. And then he started working out.
Okay.
The article goes like this. He says, okay, you want to know what happened to the 6 months? He goes, this article was actually originally written 6 years ago. And he says, I'm still here. I'm actually doing twice as bad as I did. And he said, if I would have listened to the doctors, I'd probably be dead.
He said,
so it's one of those situations of going over the whole thing. But it's like, I just feel like with the situation with this treatment, for some reason, I just feel like somebody's really focusing on these treatments because of the financial aspect of it.
Oh, well, yeah, the doctors, they get paid.
No, I'm saying it's the only reason they're even thinking of doing it.
No, I agree. I don't believe a word they say.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little nerve-wracking because, you know, my heart palpitates. So, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I mean, I know I have to eat better. It's just a slower process. So, I'm taking these vitamins now. Do you think those are good to take?
I
Well, the one thing that comes to me is the focus. I'm trying to put this right, too, because we keep thinking over and over again, you need to follow your own intuition and where you need to go, what you need to do for yourself. You understand what I'm saying?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Oh, okay. You dropped the mic. Hold up.
Okay.
Okay. And these connections are driving nuts.
Mm-hmm.
No, the thing I got the most was... Anything quiet around you? No, they were saying you need to follow and focus on your own intuition on exactly what you need to do, because it's almost like they say that you have things that you've been focusing and thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a confirmation that the things you've been thinking about doing, you should follow through with.
Okay, that makes sense.
But I did pick up on walking.
Okay.
If you could do any kind of, if you could do some kind of working out or somewhat moderate,
yeah.
I'm talking like three days a week.
Okay, well,
minutes.
I already work out with a trainer, too.
Huh?
I said I work out with a trainer 2 days a week, and I kind of walk the other days. But
mm-hmm.
I haven't been consistent with, you know, my own walking.
Yeah, it's one of those things that get you a nice calendar and be consistent with the thing. And if you want, I mean, I just feel like you should throw 3 days in there. You know, it's one
okay.
of those things like, I'm a personal trainer, too, and I tell people flat out, why I work with people is intuitional.
Okay.
As long as you walk into that workout and give you all, and you really want to be there, and you want to get, and you give your all, it'll benefit you.
Okay.
But if you don't, it can actually work against you, too. So that's what I'm saying with the situation. Be consistent, but also be true to yourself, too. I just feel like it's going to work out, walking. But also make some goals for yourself, you know, like walk 2 blocks, walk 3 blocks, whatever it is.
Okay.
But definitely, for some reason, I keep getting you got to watch, like, greens.
Watch
you,
what?
Look at the situation. What kind of blood are you? What blood type are you?
I actually have no idea, but I know I'm anemic.
Well, they were also talking about certain things of making a diet according to your blood type. Of like for example, O blood, like O positive, O negative. That's one,
uh-huh.
of the oldest, that's one of your oldest blood types. So they
okay.
have a tendency to be, so they were, it's like chasing it back in history as the ideal. They can be more sensitive to dairy products and grains, like whole wheat and whole wheat bread and that kind of stuff. So you have to do
oh.
those things in moderation.
That makes
and
a
milk
lot of
and dairy products, yeah.
Okay.
And if you're like, if you're a person, if you're over 30,
uh-huh.
then you really shouldn't have any milk in your, you should really, actually, when you get 20, you shouldn't have any more milk in your diet. But definitely after 30, you shouldn't have any milk in your diet.
Okay.
Looking for other protein alternatives and stuff like that.
Okay. So I don't need to be worried about my heart palpitating.
Your heart palpitation?
Yeah, I just need to do what I need to do.
I just feel like in the idea of changing a lot of things in your life, because I feel like there's also worry that's been put on top of that whole thing is actually contributing to the other things you're having trouble with your body.
Oh, well, I hate my job.
You what?
I hate my job.
Right.
But I'm planning on, that was my next question, I'm planning on moving to D.C. by the end of November. What
mm-hmm.
do you think about that?
Where do you live at?
I live in Oakland.
Oakland?
Yeah, Oakland, California.
That's what I thought. And you're planning
yeah.
on living in D.C.?
You live in D.C.?
No, but I've actually lived in, I used to live in Maryland. I used to live about 20 minutes from D.C. I used to travel up and down 355 all the time.
Okay.
Back and forth. Yeah, going down to Silver Springs.
Yeah, my mom.
You say 355. Yeah, we say 355. I used to say 355. I thought 355 was a straight shot until I did it a couple of times. I'm like, whoa, the traffic will kill you. Yeah, I lived in Rockville. I lived in Montgomery Village. I lived in Maryland for like 8 years.
Oh, nice. Did you like it?
Yeah, but, you know, I would I'm just a person who would never live in D.C., but, you know, sometimes it works for some people. And
Moving to that area, what do you think about that time frame?
Well, it's one of those things I was there was a couple of places I found around D.C. without going into it. There was a girl in them. God, I'm thinking, hold on, I'm trying to... It's like the suburbs, and there was actually some really nice places up there that you didn't even... There's it's off of Nebraska Avenue up near Potomac.
Oh, like Potomac Park?
Yeah, there's some places in there. You know, that's actually where the original store for Mrs. Fields Cookies is at, you know.
Oh, okay.
Up in Potomac. Yeah, I know a lot about that place. So, but for some reason, I do get the idea of maybe I'm getting that the idea you should think it. Because but what comes to me is the place that you were thinking about going, not D.C. per se, but saying, well, you're thinking about going. It's like rethink that whole thing. And it's just think there's a better place for you. It's the idea of keeping yourself open to the possibilities of whatever could happen. Like a total
Always wanted to move to New York. But I was just going to stop in D.C. because my family lives there.
Well, like the theme of the show, we're talking about everybody following your heart, where you really want to go, because in the process of following your heart, I've seen a lot of people who moved to places, and it might sound crazy to some people, but a location is everything, that certain things open up for more people when they follow their heart to go where they think they should really be at. I mean, that's what the last guy was telling me about Manitou Springs. He said, you really want to go to Manitou Springs. You should have already been there. I was like, you're right. I said, things are up in the air right now with some of the things that have been going and falling in place that I'm just kind of going with the flow.
Okay.
And I said, yeah, you're right. Maybe we should rethink the Manitou Springs donations to get there to just opening it up and saying, you know, I'm trying to get where I got to go. Because I'm in Ohio, and I just cannot seem to find any place here that I would call home, where I'm just visiting people and that kind of stuff. I just feel like I'm supposed to go somewhere. I don't know if I should change that whole donation thing and just put it and leave it open. Like, if there's a funny feeling that I'm supposed to go wherever I'm going to go. And if I have it in Manitou Springs, maybe I'm just focusing too much on one location and maybe one direction where I just let it go for a minute and change the whole format. That just taking donations to just, hey, help me get home and leave it at home, then I'd be there already.
Okay. Where are you from?
I'm actually from Ohio.
Oh, okay.
I took it like this. When I moved to Colorado, I was there for like 3 or 4 years. Right. I lived in this place called Manitou Springs. I actually had at one time. I had two shots, not at the same time, but I had two shots in a matter of months. One was going really well. I just didn't trust my partner, so I went and got my own. And that was going good until I had some other freaking person talk me into moving to Florida, which I felt like that was not the way to go. But now we're trying to correct all that stuff. I'm just saying, when I did that, when I moved to Colorado and I was in Manitou Springs, to be honest with you, I just felt like I wasn't home.
Okay.
It was a little town. I used to take walks all the time, and things would just happen. Like one night, I was sitting there going, "I would love to have like $5, just $5, you know, just a little extra $5." I worked all that day. It's like working in my shop. I pay my bills. I just like to have an extra $5 just to basically just go, maybe get some movies and just buy, you know, just whoa, I guess. I'm not really sure. I just knew I focused on it that night, and I decided to go take a walk. So I walked out, and the way this town is designed, it's like a raindrop. So when you start where I started out, I can go right back, like I can go in a big old loop and come right back where I was. So in the process of doing that, I walked out and I started finding these quarters, and I started picking them up. I was like, ooh, there's some quarters. And what's kind of funny was it was the same path I walked every night. So I found all these quarters. I never thought about anything about it. I said, ooh, I found all these quarters. Well, when I went to the store to get a couple movies, I had exactly $5.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I was freaking out because I counted out like $5. Let me count that again. Yeah, $5. So I was like, and I was telling, like the other guy says, you know, it says in The Secret you can manifest anything you want. Well, with the things that I've done, I have done that. I have manifested exactly what I wanted. And a lot of times when I'm in the process of manifesting and focusing on things, even if it was a certain person or a certain situation, if they didn't happen and the process is still following through with it, it either led me to somebody else or some other situation that was better for me, but still in the same direction. It just wasn't what I thought, but it definitely was the same outcome. Just a little different variations on the characters and that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's like a movie. You know, somebody fires, but they find someone else to replace them, and the movie still goes on, and you still have that picture to watch. So there it is. It just unfolded in a different way.
Well, I agree. That makes sense. So do you think my timeline for the end of November sounds right?
Everybody's gone. Just kill it.
I'm sorry?
Oh, no, I was just starting thinking about something.
Oh.
Say it again.
Oh, I said, do you think my timeline for the end of November sounds right for moving out?
Moving out?
Moving out of California.
Okay, so what you're asking me, because it'll sound a little distorted. Are you asking me if you're actually going to move?
I was telling you that I planned on moving to the East Coast. You know, I was going to stay in D.C. and be eventually, you know, soon after moved to New York. But I was asking you if the timeline I have for the end of November, if that sounds about right.
The impression I get is yes.
Okay.
And they said, yeah, they're saying yes. The more you let go, the more it's going to happen.
Okay.
It's like a death.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Well, like I recommend everybody else. It'd be great to get a private reading with you, but... And, you know, if you want to call us back, I'd love to hear about updates, and especially when you do get to D.C. and where you're going to wind up. I think it's going to be more of a Virginia, but that's what I get.
Okay.
So it might still be in D.C., but it might be more closer to Virginia.
Okay. I really appreciate your help.
Oh, you're welcome. No problem. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Okay. Have a good evening.
You have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, we're sitting here trying to get this. Just there we go. Cool. Okay, area code 347, your last caller on our queue, and welcome to the show, and how are you? Area code 347, you're on the air. Welcome. All right. Anyway, that's the end of our show, so thank you all for being here. This is Psychic X Journey Man. You're on Psychic X Journey Man Talk Radio. You're on Blog Radio. I mean, Blog Talk Radio. Thank you all for being here. Like, thank you for all the callers. And hope you love this topic. If you want to write and email me about any other questions, please do so through Blog Talk Radio. Or you can contact me through my website, which is www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. Or you can call me at 740-500-8863. If you want to call me through Skype, I think it's actually 740-601-9835, or just call through Skype at Donald, in small letters, donald.reed8, and we'll get you taken care of. I'd love to do a reading with each and every one of you guys, so just contact with questions, and if you want to get a reading, the information is still the same, so may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day, and give love where love is given, and we'll all see you Friday night at 11:30 when we do nothing but angel readings for 2 hours. And we'll see you then, and we'll leave you with An Angel Tonight by Foreigner.